Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Good morning, 610. Hi, welcome. Live from Chicago, high above the city we love, looking out at Lake Michigan. Well, as much as we could see. It's another rainy morning. Shocking. I gotta believe there's not gonna be any fall. It's gonna be 85 to 90 right through, say, December. Because we got nothing in spring.
You know, right now I would take that.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I think it's gonna be beautiful tomorrow.
Yeah. There's a very interesting fact on the top 6 and 6 about weather.
Well, let's get to it then. Top 6 and 6. Ready, set, go.
Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Item number one. Not the item that we were just speaking of. Mayor Lightfoot had her first city council meeting yesterday where she shut down Alderman Ed Burke saying, Sir, we'll take your issue under advisement. We're moving forward. And got applause from the gallery. Oh, I bet that made Ed mad. Let me go to Pat Brady early here. Pat, let me turn your microphone on. Did you see the exchange?
I did.
What do you think Ed Burke thought of that?
I'm not sure what he thought, but she's got history with him, and she said she wasn't going to put up with it, and I give her credit. She's
the mayor.
She's the mayor.
Item number two. Legal recreational marijuana in Illinois, a step closer after a Senate vote. Bill heads to the House next. Going to get done or not?
60-40 gets done, but the governor's had a pretty successful session, which wraps up tomorrow.
Is the governor on the pot? Is the governor on the pot himself?
Well, I think the debate is not...
On the marijuana?
I don't think
yes,
you say on the pot.
But it's not because he likes the marijuana, or maybe he does, I don't know. But the issue for all this is it's about revenue, so... The people that are against it are saying, hey, we're not having a discussion on allowing people to have marijuana. We're just talking about revenue. And I think that's what may blow it up. But I would suspect it passes.
Next, Robert Mueller declined to clear President Trump, saying if he had confidence that the president, actually he said if we had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. It's a weird, I don't even know what you'd call it, moment in time. The 8 or 9 minutes yesterday, I actually walked away from it disappointed. And then as I reflected throughout the day, I thought, well, maybe we'll get there somewhere. But then I remembered that Congress is involved, so we'll see. Next, as of 5 a.m., we have broken the May 2018 record for the wettest May ever. This is the one you were talking about.
Yes, sir.
So far this month, 8.22 inches of rain has fallen and it's still coming. Where do we keep track of that? Is that at O'Hare? Where's the official 8.22 at?
I think it's at Dave Ennett's house.
Is that right?
There's a guy with a large tumbler, a glass tumbler that just sits out in the rain and collects it and then puts a...
So it is at Dave's house, yeah. A guy with a large tumbler.
Yeah, and just puts a tape measure down in there.
Yeah.
Don't be mean to Dave. It's his birthday today.
I haven't gotten to that yet. It's not his birthday till I declare it to be his birthday. Next... I got to tell you, I saw this on video. I felt so bad for Albert. I felt so bad for Albert Elmora Jr. I didn't even see the kid, you know, and I'm thinking, well, you should be feeling worse for the kid. Well, of course I feel badly for the kid, but he was so moved and so broken up by the fact that his foul ball hit a little girl at Minute Maid Park. When is baseball going to get it? I don't care how much it costs, how many more people need to be hit. Somebody's going to die. We've already had people who've been injured for the rest of their lives. They do it in Japan. People still enjoy the game. Wrap the friggin' stadium and let's stop people getting
hit. Well, I think it's coming. I mean, I think
well,
it's
like
going
today.
To happen. Yeah.
Knock it off.
Mean, well, it has to. Now, and this will, if anything good comes out of this, it's going to be that.
And don't the Cubs have the most netting right now?
Yeah, and they do. They have it. But still.
This was in Houston.
This was in Houston.
Or Houston has
but,
the most.
But they have the netting, but the netting is only required to extend to the ends of the dugouts. Now, this is still an improvement over where it was, you know, 5 years ago.
There was a Brian Gumbel Real Sports piece maybe a year ago that demonstrated how dangerous this is, how bad it is, and how ridiculous it is. Because, look, you're not going to change people's habits. People are going to stare at their phones. The pace of baseball combined with the time we live where people stare at their phones and they don't pay attention, this is going to get somebody killed. Wrap the stadium.
But see, you just put your finger on it, because that's the biggest thing now is people aren't looking at the batter. They're looking
down. But they
said
it was like a 90-mile-an-hour, 1.2 seconds, I mean, it's not, even if you're watching.
Yeah, it's not going to necessarily help in this situation. I mean, as far as whether or not she's not looking at her phone. But, yeah, would the netting possibly have saved her or from injury? Yeah, I would think.
And social media was crazy. It was like, who brings little kids to games? You shouldn't be bringing little kids. I'm like, come on.
What are you talking about?
It was so
crazy. Idiotic statement.
It was crazy. There were a lot of those about bringing
little
kids.
And a guy got hit at a Dodgers game last night, too, in the head. He got little stitches, but he was an old guy.
That was an older guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Who brings kids to the game? Everybody.
Yeah. Exactly. It's baseball. It's America. It's ice cream and peanuts in it.
Do you have any idea what the kid's condition is?
The child was seen in the, I guess, the concourse area before she was taken to the hospital. She looked to be, they haven't said her age, she looked to be about 3 or 4 years old.
I thought she was 4.
Yeah, and but she was crying, apparently. She was awake and alert. There was no sign of blood, at least that anyone noticed.
Yeah, the guy that caught the ball said that there was no blood on the ball, you know, that cut after it hit her. He
got
the ball.
Did he give her the ball?
I don't know. They didn't get into
it. They offered her the ball, and the family kind of waved him off.
Yeah, we got other things going on right now.
We're busy right now, but thanks.
But he left the game for a while. Like, he was...
He was busted up.
Yeah, it was
The fact that this continues to be a discussion is maddening, but the other piece of this is, I don't even know who pays for this. Doesn't MLB join in the particular owners and the stadiums in at least funding part of this?
I would think. I don't know. But it's certainly an affordable thing to do, and worth whatever expenditure there is.
Just do it. The idea that people lessens the effect of the game. Let me tell you something. I've sat in the really good seats. Right. I've sat in the seats, the scout seats, as they're called, behind home plate.
Yeah.
It takes you about 30 seconds to get over the fact that there's a net in front of you.
You get used to it. And it's just like, Steve, remember when they put netting in National Hockey League arenas after the girl was killed in Columbus?
Right.
And now you don't even think about it when you see the nets. I mean, it's just part of the stadium. You know, you don't notice it.
And finally, the most important item of the day so far, but, you know, it's early. Happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you all. Thanks, Mayor.
You know, a cool party you had at your neighbor's house 3 or 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You having that tonight? Because I'll come by.
No. Oh. That was 4 years ago, Steve.
It was a milestone, wasn't it?
It was.
It's when Dave turned 20.
And I think I'm going to ask the question that everybody's thinking. Will there be cake?
So,
happy birthday, Dave. Stop. Surprise.
Oh, okay.
I mentioned today when I came in, though, I'm hand-making his present, as I do every year, and it's not ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
Hand-making?
Carving.
Is it wood?
I'm carving a dove from a tree, a block of wood, and I'll present it to him later this week. So there you go. That's your top 6 at 6.
Later this week.
That's all today.
Yeah, later this week.
Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored
maybe tomorrow,
American
maybe Saturday.
One day left. And cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
We'll come back with Nick DiGilio before we get to that, and also Chuck Todd, and you heard Pat Brady. We've got a lot on the show today, as usual.
He is Nick at Night, DiGilio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Nick DiGilio joins us live from wherever he is. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Where do you think he is?
I don't know. Could be anywhere. It's a big city. You know, Nick's a free man at 5 a.m. Who knows where he goes?
I'm going to take a stab at it and say he's home.
I'm in the subway hanging out with the rats.
Yeah, just say an undisclosed location. It sounds more mysterious and cool. Dave and its birthday. Dave and its birthday today. Any thoughts?
Yes, it is. Happy birthday, Dave.
Thanks, Nick.
You know who you share a birthday with, my friend?
Let's see. I think Gail Sayers. Who else?
Stephen Tobolowsky, one of the greatest characters that ever lived.
Yeah, you're a good friend.
Yeah, he just did the live Jeffersons.
Yes, he was. He was Bentley.
Yeah, he was the guy who got his back walked on. What movie did you and your parents see last weekend?
We didn't. I was sick, man. I spent like most of Memorial Day weekend near my bathroom, and I won't get into any more details than that.
Appreciate it. You're okay now?
Yeah. I'm good now. Yeah. But it was not a fun weekend. We were going to see Booksmart, which I hear is really, really great. And there was no way on earth that I would go see Aladdin. Not even if you paid me, I wouldn't see it.
Why?
Well, how do you know it's bad?
Well, Guy Ritchie directed it. That's one. Will Smith is trying to fill the shoes of Robin Williams. That's two.
I think you've got to hate it live. I don't think you can hate it from a distance.
Okay. Well, when it comes out on video, I'll watch it for 15 minutes and then throw it out the window.
It's easy for me to say. I haven't seen it.
I'm not crazy about the original animated one anyway. So that's another reason why. So,
Godzilla, King of the Monsters, comedy?
Listen, for me, one of the most anticipated movies of the year. I love Godzilla movies. Always have ever since I was.
Well, I mean, that Godzilla's a heck of an actor.
He is. He's the best. And this one, you got King Ghidorah in it. You got Rodan. You got Mothra. They're all fighting each other. And I'm seeing it in IMAX. My folks and I are seeing it. We're actually seeing two movies on Saturday because we're going to see the Elton John thing, Rocket Man, first, and then we're going to see the Godzilla movie. But this Godzilla movie, I've been waiting for this movie for 2 years. I can't wait.
Nick, when you see two movies like that with your parents, what's the snack situation? Like, do you?
Now, none for me. My dad brings like, I don't know, 40 bags of stuff.
He brings them?
Like, oh yeah, he's not going to pay $50 for a box of popcorn.
How's he sneak them in?
In his coat, puts them in his coat, just sneaks them in.
And then he giggles
kid. Now I know what's going to happen on Saturday. My dad's going to get frisked because I'm talking about this now.
Sorry.
I don't know. I've seen some of the Help at movie theaters. I don't think frisking's part of the deal.
But you sit through
No, I mean, he eats. I mean, my dad eats crap constantly. Sweets and candy, sugary stuff. He carries candy with him. Well, he's in his 70s. Now he's got to carry candy with him. I think that's the legal thing, right?
Yeah.
You legally have to have candy with you and offer it to people. You know,
generally hard candy.
I always have a candy bag in my purse.
Well, thanks, Grandma.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You got to do that. Yeah. Everybody's always asking me for it, too. Yeah. Everyone's always asking.
All right, so Godzilla, you're looking forward to. What about Rocket Man? I hear great things.
I hear, I hope it's good. My issue is that the guy who ghost directed Bohemian Rhapsody, which was absolutely the worst movie of last year, actually directed this one. And the difference is that the person that this movie is about is still alive and can tell you whether or not it's accurate. And Bohemian Rhapsody wasn't. It was filled with lies. It was walking over Freddie Mercury's grave with no regrets. And it was an awful, awful, awful movie. But the guy who directed this, the same guy who directed it, directed that movie. But Elton John likes it. So, and it's about the years where Elton John was really good, because he hasn't been good for a really long time. But he was really good back in the 70s, and that's when this is about. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope it's good.
Elton John made the Queen movie. I don't know if you know that. Ma's a movie, or Ma's something you say when you go out to the movies with your Ma?
No, Ma is a movie. I don't know what to make of this. I'm kind of looking forward to it. This is the one I'm going to see by myself this weekend. It's basically Octavia Spencer alluring teenagers into her basement with liquor and then killing them.
Well, everybody's got to plan their weekends.
Yeah. And, I don't know. For some reason, this one appeals to me. You know, Oscar winner Octavia Spencer saying, yeah, come on in. I got booze. Yeah, you're a teenager? Good. I'm going to kill you. So, I for some reason, I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Well, because you love the horror.
I do.
The next the Film Club edition is going to be a classic. It's it's Ghostbusters. 35 years ago, the first Ghostbusters.
Can you believe? How old does that make you feel?
A lot.
I mean,
this many.
Unbelievable. 35 years old, Ghostbusters.
Crazy.
Incredible.
Yeah, and you're celebrating the anniversary Tuesday, June 11th, AMC Rosemont 18, 8 o'clock. All the benefits and advantages and perks of being Nick's movie pal. And where do we get tickets?
Well, you can get tickets at amctheaters.com. And also, we have partnered for the past few months with Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant, which is right down the block. And because, obviously, this is a Bill Murray movie, they've got a lot of special stuff. In addition to 15% off on all your food, they're going to have we're going to have like a Ghostbusters party, and they're going to have drink specials and Ghostbusters related food specials as well. So it's going to be a big celebration, and the tickets are going really good. So you might want to get in there now and reserve your seats at amctheaters.com. But yeah, Ghostbusters on the big screen, 35 years, man. I just feel like Methuselah.
Well, listen, for Methuselah, you're hanging in.
I am. I'm trying.
What does that mean, Methuselah?
Methuselah is a very, very old dead figure.
Oh. Old and dead. Are you familiar? Oh. Are you familiar with the Bible?
Oh, the hair? The one with the snakes for hair?
Got a lot of hair.
That's Medusa. Yeah, that's it. No, that's Medusa. Sorry. That's Medusa.
That's a cousin. Saw him at a reunion.
I know the main people. Mary,
you,
Jesus, God. I got those ones down. I don't know about Methuselah.
I think you put Mary first.
She's
I know the main people. Mary.
Right, Mary.
Was that Jesus guy?
And there's Mary Magdalene, too. A lot of Marys.
That's Nick DiGilio, and does a great show every night. So if you're up in the middle of the night trying to pee, or you're up because you're up, you should be listening. Somebody's on the phone that wants to sing to Dave, sing happy birthday, and I think that's a nice thing. Kevin, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Fire away.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Dave Annette.
It's beautiful.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Are you sure you're from Wisconsin? I can barely tell the accent.
Yeah, I'm from Wisconsin.
I got it.
We also have
I listen to you for Northwestern football, basketball. Did you do baseball at one time, Dave?
For Northwestern?
No, in general.
No.
In general?
We had some Cubs games.
I did some Cubs. I used to fill in for Pat once in a while.
Yeah, but I mean for the Cubs.
Yeah, he did some Cubs games. Yeah.
Been a few years.
Did you have an issue with him when he was doing the Cubs games?
Listener, no, he was good.
Thanks, yeah, good.
Listener James and his son Levi also share a birthday with you today, Dave.
Oh, very good. Happy birthday, guys.
It was awfully nice of you to sing. I don't know how often you get to town, but we're going to give you something. Stand by for that. Tickets to Stephen Sondheim's Classical Musical Farce, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights, where the Steve Cochran stand-up tour will be playing this fall, May 16th through June 29th. Fast-paced, witty, irreverent. Oh, that's Dave, too. Get tickets at the Metropolis Arts Center or at metropolisarts.com, 847-577-2121. We'll come back at your headlines in just a second, and Chuck Todd's coming up as well. Mort Krim's going into the Hall of Fame, the guy that they think they based Will Ferrell-based Anchorman on, you know, Channel 2 anchor. Wasn't he Channel 2?
I think he came, I want to say he came here from Philly, possibly.
Yeah, I think that's right.
He was on Channel 2 for a while.
And Chris Kreidel announced her retirement from WBBM. Look, I listen to BBM for traffic occasionally, like all of you do. There's nothing else I need from BBM that I can't get everywhere. But when I hear Chris Kreidel, I know I'm hearing one of the best in the business. Yeah, so I hope she has a happy retirement.
I worked with Chris, and I wish her all the best. She's great.
I don't know her. I may have met her once or twice, but I'm a fan. Yeah, I think she's really good.
Me too.
It's 6:33. We'll come back with your headlines next.
If we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime. The introduction to the Volume 2 of our report explains that decision. It explains that under long-standing department policy, a president cannot be charged with a federal crime while he is in office. That is unconstitutional. Even if the charge is kept under seal and hidden from public view, that too is prohibited. The special counsel's office is part of the Department of Justice, and by regulation, it was bound by that department policy. Charging the president with a crime was therefore not an option we could consider.
It is 6:41. Our friend Chuck Todd from the Chuck Todd Cast, Meet the Press Daily, Meet the Press on Sundays. Longest running show in the history of the universe joins us now. Good morning, Chuck. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, one of the things that jumped out at me at the Mueller thing yesterday is this: the president's above the law. based on a policy, not a law, a policy. Doesn't this policy from the Justice Department have to be court tested at some point? And if not now, when?
Well, it probably does need to be court tested. I think the fact is everybody's afraid of it being court tested because no matter what, you're going to potentially shake the American government, weaken it, put it in a vulnerable state. If you have the head of your executive not able to perform to 100% of their abilities, worried too much about an investigation or something like that. So that certainly is always – so nobody wants to test the premise, test the case to see not just what the courts would do, but what if the courts would say he isn't above the law. I would imagine that the courts would likely say that to a point, but you're right. The policy essentially does put the president above the law. And currently, right now, the president seems to be in charge of the law,
so
whether you like it or not.
If we go back to 2016, there's a lot of things we would never expect a president to do, which now seem like, you know, oh, yeah, that too. And everybody jumps to, and I don't think unfairly, well, what if he kills somebody? And that's the obvious jump here when it comes to a discussion of whether or not the president's above the law. Where's the line? Where's the line that says action has to be taken, and is it just a judgment call?
Well, I mean, I think that's the problem, is that I don't think we like it when it's a judgment call. When it's a judgment call, then we're putting it in the hands of some sort of political appointee in some form or another. So I think we wish it weren't a, quote, judgment call, that there would be an opportunity for us to know what the lines are. To, you know, I think this is actually part of Nancy Pelosi's challenge among House Democrats. They're saying they're not there yet on impeachment. Okay, but what does there look like?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Tell us what that looks like rather than just making it a judgment call. I think that's been the difficulty of dealing with Mueller from the get-go is, okay, what are you going to do with the information that he finds? Right, and it was never clear what was going to be done with the information that was found. I mean, the assumption was it would end up in Congress's hands. Well, here we are, and I think now you've got the Justice Department or bar people trying to argue that it wasn't meant as a referral to Congress, when I think most people assume that's exactly what Mueller was doing.
Mr. Barr is going to be a footnote in history at some point, in his behavior is certainly deserving of that, but he's still a very central figure in all this now. Is he going to be some sort of sacrificial lamb if they don't go to the president? Well, we'll kick this guy out instead.
Oh, I think that's possible, but I kind of think that there's also some, if you're going to expend energy going after him, you know, are you missing, you know, are you missing the target, right? Should you be, if your beef's really with Trump, why are you just going after Barr because he's an easier target? He's a gettable target. You know, I thought that was a bad look on Republicans when they just went after Holder because they felt like they couldn't go after Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that you gotta have a reason. Look, I think Mueller exposed Barr as basically doing a politicizing the Justice Department. You know, whatever you think of Barr, even if you agree with the decisions that he makes, you can't look at what Mueller presented and say that Barr gave an honest, straightforward version of events. He clearly skewed and spun that report, which we all could see for ourselves. But now Bob Mueller is saying it by just simply doing what he did yesterday, giving a drier presentation of the facts as they were presented in the report, not as they were spun by Bill Barr.
The Mueller declaration of sorts, saying, "Look, I have no interest in speaking publicly or speaking to Congress about this." Certainly could be subpoenaed to do that. But he basically said, "I'm not going to say anything that you can't read right here. So read the report. It speaks for itself." Is Nancy Pelosi waiting for some magic to happen, or is she trying to play a little stall here, a little old Dean Smith boxing one, run out the clock till we get to the election season and everybody agrees with her?
I think she's trying to run out the clock
she would say she's waiting to see what more they find before they make a final decision. But I think it's running out the clock by another name, to be honest. And I think she's hoping to get to Labor Day. And if she can get through, essentially, if they can get to the August recess, I think that the impeachment isn't going to happen. But see, I go the other way. I think that if they're going to, if they think it's inevitable that they're going to end up doing this, then they are actually, it would behoove them to do it quickly, and efficiently. So, and I don't think they've even thought about, if they do it, what does it look like? And I think they need to be thinking about those things.
It's the inside the beltway thing, man. That's the bubble. The constitutional oversight's not optional, and the Democrats have an opportunity here to go in and say we are doing our jobs as the Constitution dictates, and lay it out that way, and publicly state your case.
I think this is the Iraq War debate all over again.
Yeah, totally.
Among Democrats, and I think that what seems politically smart in the moment. Voting for this Iraq war back in 2002, that was the politically safe thing to do. Democrats were trying to hold on to the Senate. They didn't want to get, they didn't want to get on the wrong side of the red, white, and blue in an election year right after 9/11. So they, for political, there was a lot of pressure to basically go with the president on this. 5 years later, that vote for Iraq was lethal enough to cost Hillary Clinton the presidency. Okay. And that's the question I think these Democrats have to ask themselves. What seems politically smart right now, what's it going to look like in 5 years?
Pat Brady.
And how many of you, and many of you may have political careers that you hope last in 5 years. What is that vote going to look like?
Yeah, 1,000%. Pat Brady, say hi to Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, you might have just answered my question on this on both sides of the aisle. Is there any strategy long term by the Democrats? And I think there's risk, too. It'd be interesting to hear what you have to think about this on the Republicans. If they delay all this, Bob Mueller's testifying next summer, which I think is a lot worse than him testifying next month.
That's true. Look, I think there's risk. This is where I don't understand. The Democrats don't have any strategy. And if they did, I don't understand why they haven't made Republicans cast a whole bunch of votes to tighten the laws on foreign interference, criminalize meetings like the Trump Tower meeting if you don't report it, things like this.
Right.
Force some votes. Put Republicans on the record. My guess is most of them are going to vote for this stuff, but those that want to sit there and protect Trump, okay. Now you've got them on the record protecting Trump. Point is, do something, right? Have a, and this is a dual straight, on one hand, clearly Mueller is begging Congress to fix our laws in order to sort of make it easier to criminalize foreign interference. That's one thing, and at the same time, it could serve as a political tool for Democrats. But they've sort of totally lost control of what they're even investigating. I mean, if you ask them, what are you investigating? They would sit there. Well, we got his tax returns, we got his business records. Adam Schiff will say money laundering, and I'm sitting there going, how about investigating Russian interference?
Right.
How about investigating that? How about criminalizing that? How about passing some laws so that we strengthen our campaign finance laws and then go from there? I think it's possible support for Trump could be a version of the Iraq war vote for Republicans down the road. But make them cast some votes here. Make them make a decision. What would the Republicans be doing if they were in this situation? They'd be wedging Democrats to death.
Yep.
with difficult votes. And this is where the Democrats sometimes they don't know how to use the limited power that they have.
Shoving them up against a locker and asking for their lunch money. What were you saying, Pat?
No, just to that point, if I actually read the report, which says more about my social life than anything, but if you read through the obstruction piece of it, there are 8 or 9 points in there. If they're out in the public, I think public opinion does change when you actually see what he did while he was president of the United States.
It's exactly right. If you read this report, it's very troubling. It's just very troubling. And I think both parts of the report. I think part one reads like a spy novel that's a bit scary when you realize you know, what they did succeed in doing. And I've never understood why Democrats have not been able to make the president essentially make it a bad stance to say the phrase Russian hoax. They should make that phrase saying, so you don't believe the Russians interfered in the election? You know, that should be the standard here. And they've sort of, this is where Trump has sort of recast the narrative of the Russian hoax is this entire idea that the Russians were trying to help. I mean, which to me is, that's a more dangerous narrative for him to be spinning, because it basically lets the Russians off the hook.
And it's a little disheartening this morning that a good portion of at least the morning show's coverage prior to the show this morning was about whether or not the battleship John McCain had its name covered up so Trump wouldn't be offended. Like, it's not an unimportant story, but it certainly doesn't rank with the rest of this.
Can I just tell you, I know, that is one of those where I'm never proud of my business. I'll just be honest with you. I think we're over-covering it for the same reason. It's like, I feel the same way. You're like, this is symbolic of the Trump era. This is symbolic of the type of bizarre loyalty test that he has created. I think it's certainly disappointing that the Pentagon, that somebody at the Pentagon or some advanced person put the fear of life in people on this. But I'm with you. It's sort of like, this is where I sometimes think the Trump outrage machine out here, it's always at 11, to borrow a Spinal Tap phrase. You know, if you just keep screaming every story at 11 about Trump, none of it's going to penetrate.
I think you and I talked about this.
You know,
off the air, maybe on, I don't remember. But here's a newsflash. Trump's petty and the White House is a zoo. I mean, that's essentially what the story is. So
that's right. And by the way, I can give you an example every day.
Yeah.
So the question is, do you want to cover that story every day? Or, you know, do we try to surface something that you didn't know that you should?
I'll let you go on this. I know you don't miss any of this stuff because you somehow catch all states politics and all cities politics and things. But Ed Burke got scolded by our new mayor yesterday in a way, if you haven't seen the video, you need to. So that's just a tip from your friend, Steve.
Well, I will take a look at that. We've talked about this before. I mean, at some point, you got to think that the two machines are going to die here. I don't know how many times voters have to send the message that they're sort of exhausted from the old machine style of politics, whether left or right. But it is amazing how much these machines cling to power in the state of Illinois.
Well, later on, I'll be announcing my new party affiliation. I'm a Whig as of today, partly because of my hair loss. Chuck, always great. Thank you. We'll see you this weekend.
Thanks, guys. You got it.
Chuck Todd, Meet the Press daily and Meet the Press on Sunday. And a new Chuck Toddcast is out. Dave's birthday. We should recognize Dave's birthday.
I think we might have to recognize his birthday at 7:10, though, given the clock.
Because I wouldn't shut up, is what you're saying? We'll do that coming up. Stand by. It's Dave. It's your birthday today.
You don't need to recognize my birthday. You already did. In the top six.
Continue to recognize it, and some of it will be complimentary. You know, West Side Story done right never gets old. Ever. Doesn't age. Michaela Bennett and Amanda Castro. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Michaela is Maria, and Amanda is Anita.
I heard it's an amazing cast.
I think so.
Our entertainment reporter said it's the best show in Chicago right now.
Wow, and he's a pain.
And he's a stickler. He doesn't just say that to anybody.
The fact that he said that's very, very good.
I think Dave Bennett's going to try to go. It's his birthday on Thursday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Why don't you sing Maria as we go to break?
Well, I sent my first solo. I was in third grade. It was tonight.
Yeah,
so beautiful. Play us out, Dave.
Yeah, come on, play us out. Take us to break.
Tonight.
Oh, I'm so ready to join.
I'll see.
I believe we've got our second.
Does that get me in? Am I in the show?
You're now the Tony Understudy.
That's right. Yes, we'll have him waiting in the wings. Dave won a Tony for that performance.
Yes.
Hey, Tony, bada bing.
I was a little intimidated by the ladies.
The actual Broadway stars were
there? Yes, having them sitting about 3 feet from me.
Pat, you've known Dave a long time now. I'd like to wish him a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dave. And I think it's such a tribute to you at age 64, how good you look, how healthy you are. I mean, my diet of scotch and pizza and coffee.
Taking it
not
soul.
Not Asian soul, but you look like a million
Michael,
bucks.
Thank you. Thanks,
you
Pat.
Beat me in the
Get stair everybody
punch.
In here to sing to Dave. It'll make him uncomfortable.
Yeah, he really will.
Where's the Beatles 64 song?
Well, we're going to do the happy birthday song first.
Should be playing that, too.
Yeah, what are you doing? Get down here and sing.
Oh, okay.
This is nice.
Steve, abandon the newsroom. Come down here and sing.
See if I have a word sheet.
So everyone else is going to be disappointed, but I made healthy cookies for Dave Bennett.
That's fine.
Thanks, Mary.
That's fine. I won't eat them. Whatever.
They are three-ingredient cookies.
Oh, wow.
They are gluten-free. Mm-hmm. They are smashed bananas.
Okay.
Okay.
So far, I'm on board.
Gluten-free oats.
Okay.
And chocolate chips.
Naughty.
Well, I'll try that.
Yeah, I mean, that smells
that sounds,
great.
And that's that sounds
it.
Fine.
So there's no sugar, there's no butter, there's nothing. So this is nothing like the other cookies
yeah,
I made.
Come on, bring it. I got it.
So,
be right with you.
One, they're good.
Be right with you.
Yeah, Mary ate one. I've eaten. Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
A little louder. He's 64.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Seems like just yesterday you were 63.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I don't like to think what's coming next.
You look great, and you're better than you've ever been. I believe that. I believe you're better than you've ever been.
Thanks.
So,
in addition to your healthy cookies, I think Michael gave you a yogurt over there.
Almond butter oats contains tree
wasn't that
nuts.
Your name when, wait, wasn't that your name when you were a stripper? Weren't you almond butter oats?
Yes, almond butter oats.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Contains
yeah.
tree nuts.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
So,
oh, here we go. Carrot cake. Pat, you want to dance?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Here's the key part, Dave. Do you ever think he'd hit 64?
Yeah, no. And you know, that song takes on a whole different meaning when you are.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds... I've been hearing that song since I was a kid.
I think you reach a certain point in life, and Pat Brady, you're 58, so am I. You reach a certain point in life, you go, what? What? I'm old?
How did that happen?
What?
Yeah, but Dave's a great example. If you take care of yourself, you mm-hmm. beat me in the stair climb.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, it wasn't
no,
a competition.
He's in great shape. He's healthy. And,
are you going to try one of my cookies?
Well, yeah, I am, but I have to.
Oh, Dave, do you play racquetball?
For a second.
Well, I haven't. I used to be an avid racquetball
you
player.
You could use these things as balls, I think.
But the things he's holding up, by the way, are cookies for those of you listening on the radio.
Isn't Dave
the phrase, you could use these things as balls, probably needs some explanation.
I actually haven't had one yet.
You're supposed to play pickleball now.
Yeah, I'm actually trying.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to try that.
Well, you
or
keep
bocce ball.
You keep moving, because for guys your age, it's important to move.
Thank you. Thank
I'm
you all
force
for this.
I'm going to eat a cookie.
Can I open the card?
Yes.
So good to see
which
you
says,
active.
Which says, go Cats on the front.
Yes. It'll take
dog.
You a while.
Picture of a dog.
It. Yes. Yes.
Picture of a dog.
It, and it says?
It says, is that a lot of candles or is your cake on fire?
Hey.
Happy birthday.
And you read all the sensitive things we're saying. Anyway, we love you, buddy. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Day. Love you guys. Thank you.
MVPP coming up. Pat Brady coming up on the end of the world as we know it, this week's version. Stand by. And helpful listener says, Dave, don't pull a muscle chewing on that cookie. What's happening at 7:30? Oh, wait, Steve's got to go back and tell
yes,
me.
Yeah.
why don't we do this?
I bet he's going to talk about Mayor Lightfoot.
Mayor Lightfoot. He's going to talk about Mueller, Mayor Lightfoot. And the traffic is just like it was a second ago. If you're slowed down, you're in it. And if you're moving quickly, you're not. We'll update all that coming up.
She might have a sponsor. So, Mary, Steve already did the traffic, but do you have a sponsor?
Steve did the traffic.
Yeah.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
No, I'm good. Yeah.
Okay, any major problems?
Just this accident on the north side at Milwaukee and Elston. Oh,
so Steve, don't be there.
Yeah, yeah, don't be there. Yeah, you missed it, Steve.
We'll come back in a second on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The most valuable person on the planet.
All right, Tom. time now for that MVPP, and joining us on the phone, today's most valuable person on the planet, Tamika Swint. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're doing just fine. And I think we need to understand that hair for a black female is much different than hair for anybody else. And really, it's an inspiration for what you do. It's styles for kids, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Styles right. for girls.
Or it's not styles
style
for kids?
Styles for kids. It is styles for kids.
All right. Yeah, the Styles for Kids providing professional tips, tools, tricks, and little TLC to make caring for African-American hair fun, not stressful. What do you do? And what makes you an expert, by the way?
Yeah, so we specialize in helping families that are transracially adopting and fostering African-American kids with hair care resources, training, education, and support.
It's really smart.
And we are really passionate about helping this community and getting them the needed information so that their kids can feel confident about how their hair looks.
Yeah, because you got let's get down to frankness here. You got a nice white family who adopts a lovely little black child, and that little child grows up, and you see the dad trying to style her hair. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Absolutely, and we are all about empowering those dads. So that they feel capable of understanding their kids' hair and how to keep it looking great. And so we're excited about it.
It's a cool idea. Are you a stylist?
Yes, I am. I've been styling hair for over 20 years.
And styles. And does this go to boys' hair as well?
Yes. For kids under the age of 5, we do encourage parents after the age of 5 to start taking your son to the barbershop so that he can get acclimated to going to the barbershop, knowing what to ask for, and it's an important part of an African-American boy's cultural experience for him to go to the barbershop. So we do encourage that after the age of 5.
And you've been doing the volunteering with kids in foster care and DCFS custody for a lot of years, right? You were doing it on weekends?
Yes. We've been doing that for about 8 years, and we've been doing that surrounding Easter, Christmas, back to school, and recently we've been doing it just whenever they need it. So prom, graduation, or if they just call us and say, we have a kid that needs services, we go.
You know, you got a plenty busy life. What got you into this?
You know, I was really passionate about helping kids. I've always been passionate about doing kids' hair, and met a mom who just was really struggling. And I was just inspired to start this organization so that more people could get assistance. I mean, I'm only one person. I can only do so many people.
Right.
So I wanted to create a way for other people to partner and as a way to strengthen the community of these parents that need help.
You know, it's amazing what you've done in just a matter of a few years. But again, the organization... Yeah. Providing services to all foster kids and underserved children and residential facilities, detention centers, like you're talking about special needs kids with Afro-textured hair, all at Styles for Kids. How do we help you?
Oh, very important. Go to Styles for Kids today and make a donation. Our goal is we want to expand our services to more children and families that need the services. And so if you go to Styles for Kids today and make a donation, you enable us to do that. You can go to www.styles, S-T-Y-L-E-S, the number 4, KIDZ.org.
Congratulations and keep up the great work.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day, you guys.
Thank you. That's Tamika Swint, the most valuable person on the planet. Can you imagine me trying to style anybody's hair?
No. Hmm. I cannot.
I mean, that's why that service would be really important.
Is that why your hair isn't there anymore?
Well, it's not because it fell out from stress.
It's just from trying to style it.
Yes.
The website is great. You just type
Styles. Spell it again.
S-T-Y-L-E-S, 4, the number 4, KIDZ.org. But I just started typing and it comes up.
Okay.
She's been on with Michael and Kelly, and this is a big... Pretty cool. It's important. I think she was talking about the cultural, connection, which is important, I think, when you're adopted, to know, maintain where your roots are. So it's a cool.
It's very important. Yeah, without a doubt. Pat Brady joins me next, and then we'll get to the headlines on 720 WGN. But first, that's right. I was thinking that we had to take care of business. You know, I'm always so concerned about being on time that sometimes I throw myself off.
You're
Pat Brady
off.
Joins me now.
From eating the healthy cookies.
Yeah, somebody wants the ingredients for those.
smashed bananas, oats, and chocolate chips.
They're really good.
Will you put the recipe up on Facebook or whatever?
Yeah, I can share it.
All right, we should do that.
And I'll bring cookies around to people if they want. I'll just come.
I mean, the ones she made for you today, she'll just bring them to the
house. I want to share them with everybody.
Well, you got to do the show till 10. Can you wait till 10 before you start handing out cookies?
I don't think he means driving around to the listener.
Oh!
No, I would, though.
Yeah, okay. Here's the deal, Pat. Springfield session ends tomorrow, yes?
Yes.
Okay. What's going to get done? Now, okay, and I should say, yeah, you've become more optimistic in the last week or so after you thought not a lot was going to get done.
Yeah, a lot has gotten done. If you look at the Pritzker administration, you got the minimum wage through. They just got the graduated a progressive income tax bill through, so that will be on the ballot in 2020. There are other issues still out there. They're right now working on the budget, which was floated yesterday, I think, has to be to get the readings in. So I think
what does that mean?
Meaning you have to read a bill in three times before each body, before it can pass.
What is it, like hocus pocus? You got to read it three times?
And yeah, I think it's just historical, but that's kind of the way it works. But it can be done fairly quickly. So I think we'll have, thanks to the $1.2 billion they found in extra revenues, I think we'll have a balanced budget and a budget deal before the end of session, which is, I think, very good news. And then the couple things left are the recreational marijuana, which Steve has been talking about, which 60-40, maybe a higher percentage. It seems like that's starting to go in the right direction. And the last one, the big one, is the expansion of casino gaming. Are they going to allow more casino licenses? And tied to that is the fantasy sports betting issue, which the one side, the ones that have been operating here, FanDuel and DraftKings, illegally, they want to come in and operate in the other side of that. In interest of full disclosure, I represent one of the casinos. They believe if you're operating unlawfully, you shouldn't at least not have to sit in a penalty box before we give you a license. So,
it seems like a fair argument.
I think it is, but that's the debate right now. But as I mentioned earlier in the day, the casino and the recreational marijuana aren't necessarily on the merits of those enterprises. Just it's a potential tax revenue to plug the holes because we still have, I don't know, $7 or $8 billion in unpaid bills.
I did notice you didn't mention the word pension anywhere.
Right. That's
not even in discussion?
No, and the governor never really, no one really talked about it during the campaign. I mean, Governor Rauner did, but Governor Pritzker didn't. But the reality is that is the issue that's going to have to be dealt with. But just politically, and I have to give him credit, they've had a successful run here legislatively, and I think he has a lot he can talk about. Maybe they're looking to build some momentum because it's going to have to be a compromise on public sector labor's part that we just can't afford these pensions anymore.
To me, it's like an oil leak underwater. It just continues. It continues. It continues because this unfunded pension debt will grow. I mean, congratulations to Pritzker and, you know, Republican leader Durkin and everybody there that's been working together to try to get stuff done for the people of Illinois. God knows we need it. But $150 billion or something? What's the number?
Yeah, I've heard $200 billion, but that it also applies to the city of Chicago. And
right.
One of the arguments, the one I tend to agree with, if we're going to amend our constitution to change the way we tax people, which will be an income tax increase on certain sectors, why don't we amend our constitution to change it so the pension benefits can't allow to be diminished? That's what prevents these pensions from being cut back. The constitution.
What is the reluctance to amend the constitution?
Well, first of all, it's difficult. Secondly,
we have to have either a constitutional convention or you have to put it out to
on the ballot, like they did with the changing from a flat to a progressive tax. But the reality is, the political reality is, the public sector unions in this state, which support the current administration, the current legislature, are very strong, and they don't want these pensions diminished. I think at some point we're going to have to figure this out, and I think Senator Cullerton actually has a called a consideration model, his plan, which probably would meet constitutional requirements and would fix the pensions. But as you said, if we don't fix these pensions, we're never going to have the money to put into the infrastructure and the other things you need. And also, as I say that, I forgot there's a capital bill they're discussing that may not get done this session, but probably will be in the veto session.
Where's that money going to go?
Where's it going to go? Infrastructure?
Directly.
Directly. Okay. They're trying to figure out how to allocate it, which is always a big battle, but they're also trying to figure out how to fund it. Are we going to tax driver's license more fees on licenses, things like that? Are we going to raise the motor fuel tax to pay for it? So the funding source is the big issue, and that's why gaming and the infrastructure bill or capital bill are kind of tied together.
Is the noise that comes out of Washington keeping us from being even more effective in Springfield because nobody's paying attention, or is it helping on some level?
I think Springfield, when you go down there, is similar to what the Beltway is. Once you're down there, I think you're focused, and as compared to last year's, I think there's a lot of feeling that things are getting done. Now, if you're a conservative Republican, you're not happy about a lot of it. You're not happy about tax increases. You're not happy about the reproductive rights bill, which probably makes Illinois have the toughest pro-choice bills in the country. So there are a lot of things that Republicans won't like, but I think the Democrats and the people that control the state right now probably should be pretty happy with what Governor Pritzker's done.
Governor Pritzker is invited on the show for, we don't have the specific count, Mr. Madigan has been invited on the show for 1,384 shows. He's 0 for 1,384. Mr. Pritzker is invited on the show as well. He's done almost no interviews since he was elected. He needs to answer questions with the public, and he needs to do it soon.
Yeah, and I agree. He's I remember the first appearance he had was on Pearson's show, and I listened to him. I go, you know, this guy's really pretty good.
He can speak.
Very good at
yes,
this.
Yes, he knows where punctuation goes. He can speak eloquently.
And he's a nice enough guy. He's not a...
And he doesn't seem to shy away from questions. So his media people need to stop protecting him and start booking him some places. Not just here.
I mean, I'm not making excuses for him. Maybe when now he's probably pretty comfortable in the job, particularly with the sessions they've had, maybe he'll come out more. I hope he does, because I think people are entitled to hear what's going on down there.
All right, last question about Springfield. And let me just jump back to the pension for a second. What is it about this that I don't understand in regards to the union leadership? If starting today, there is an adjustment in pensions for new employees, and you can't touch the stuff that already is owed to people who have earned it. Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yeah, but that's the problem, is in the debt that's already been incurred in the way that they structured the payments of the big pension ramp up. So right now, we're just 25 years ago, the way they decided to fund the pensions, there's a big ramp or big spike in payments right now. Plus, in 2005 and 2006, when the economy was booming, the legislature chose not to make pension payments. The obligations they had every year, and then the economy tanked. And I mean, there are a lot of problems skipping the payments, but they've also had this unrealistic rate of return model that we're going to get 8% on these pension investments. I think that's the number, which hasn't turned out. So there are a lot of problems with that, and there have been changes to it, not drastic changes, but there have been to the people that are in the system now. But the problem is the hundreds and thousands of people that have been in the system forever that get these. You look at judicial pension. You retired $185,000 a year. You get 85%, 3% cost of living increase every year, plus health insurance, and you're not taxed on that revenue. Do the math on
that. That's the stuff that would have to
change. Yeah, do the math on that. After about 10 years, you're making a ton of money, and we just don't have enough taxpayers anymore to support that.
And the union leadership is lying to the rank and file if they say we can fund it, because at some point we're just going to go, sorry, we told you, we're out.
Well, they never, my experience in watching this is they never go backwards. They always go forward. That the starting point is always forward. They never look back and realize that. And I'm not criticizing.
But it's not going to end well, is my point.
No, I'm not criticizing them. That's their job. But the reality is we can't afford it anymore, and there's got to be a solution. And it can't just be continued borrowing and skipping payments.
I'm way late here, but this texture I want to get in. 7% of the Illinois population that are state union employees are milking the other 93% of us taxpayers with pension plans and cost of living increases that are not available to the average citizen. Where in the private sector do you get 75%, you said 85 in some cases, of your final paycheck for the rest of your life, plus a 3% cost of living index for the rest of your life? Well, the answer is nowhere.
Nowhere, but that pension system is more a reflection of an outdated approach to government. Back in when these pensions were enacted, everybody was getting a pension. The fact is, and that their texture makes a good point, those pensions aren't available anymore, but our Constitution prohibits diminishing benefits. So as long as the makeup of the Supreme Court's 4-3 for the Democrats, we're not going to get a change.
And I don't have any ill will towards anybody that's in the pension system. You didn't make the system up. But there has to be a reality that we can't continue to live this way, and it seems like all we've done is talk about it for 20 years.
Yeah, and we're always seem to be at the crisis point, and then we're not. But maybe in the next session, we'll get something done.
We'll talk about the rest of things. Hey, good plug, Steve.
This is today's Pucks in Prague clip of the day.
With 3-2-1, Corey Crawford has pitched the first shutout of the season for the Hawks. The Hawks beat the Flyers 3-0 here tonight. Career shutout number 22 for Corey Crawford.
That is today's Pucks in Prague clip of the day.
Oh, man!
And you hear it again this afternoon with Rokan. Be caller number...
Hi, this is Jonathan
19.
Tate.
Win a Blackhawks prize pack, including tickets to the Blackhawks convention, and be qualified to win a trip for two to see the Hawks open their season in Prague, Czech Republic against the Flyers. Listen to Rokan today to win.
By the way, listen to Rokon Show this afternoon with Anna DeVantis between 5 and 5.30 for the clip you just heard. That's between 5 and 5.30. Four tickets to the Blackhawks convention, a signed replica jersey, a signed hockey stick, a signed puck and photo. That's what you'll get, and you're qualified to win the trip for two, which we're going to give away next Friday morning, June 7th at 7:40 in the morning. Complete details and all the stuff you need at WGNradio.com/contest. 7:43, Pat Brady's here. Do you think yesterday was a good day or a bad day for Donald Trump?
Probably overall a bad day, because you have a guy with as much stature as Mr. Mueller laying out what he said yesterday about this did exonerate him, and then the actual refer to the report, maybe more people pay attention. So probably a bad day for him. But
generally speaking, when he loses it on Twitter and when the people at Fox start losing it, it's a bad day. Here's a couple of clips from last night's Fox primetime lineup after Mueller's statement yesterday. Sean Hannity? Let's try that again.
Number one, Mr. Mueller doesn't know the law. He's basically full of crap.
Laura Ingraham, Mr. Mueller.
Very arrogant. Drop a little bomb. If I wanted to clear him of a crime, I would have said so.
That's right. That's right. But
it's like a girl thing. It's like a mean girl thing.
But Dershowitz said it.
Mueller's a mean girl. Mueller's full of crap. And Tucker Carlson.
The saddest thing about this moment is all the people you sort of admire from afar, and then the more you learn, it turns out that they're sleazy and dishonest. And I hate to say Robert Mueller it winds up in that category. It pains me to say that.
Wait, I didn't see Tucker over in Vietnam with Bob Mueller when he left Dartmouth to go over there and fight for the country.
Well, here's the thing. They're all cowards. Having said that, that doesn't have anything to do with the reaction.
I've watched Sean Hannity and done things with Sean Hannity might be the dumbest person on television.
Yeah, well, he's Rush Limbaugh's caddy, and it's worked out to be a nice career for him. Yeah. The thing is, these three people work for the White House in various forms. Sean Hannity is called the shadow chief of staff, but that has nothing to do with yesterday, nor does the fact that Mueller is a legitimate American hero. Yesterday, Mueller referred to the law. He didn't interpret the law. He took the law as it exists and said he was going to follow it. I would love if Mueller had stood up yesterday and said, look, somebody's got to say it. This Congress isn't going to do anything. So, yes, I don't have the power to do it, but the attorney general ought to prosecute and ought to move forward. I don't think he will because he lied to you. I would have loved to see Mueller say that, but he's a soldier and he's not going to be that kind of guy.
Right. And part of the argument here is that had he not worked for the Justice Department in this special counsel role, not independent counsel role, that he could have indicted the president. But the point being is this report is, to me anyway, the Attorney General of the United States, Mr. Barr, misled the American public.
He lied.
Yeah, he absolutely got up there and lied as to what the contents of the report were. And if you read the report and you read his statement, it's clear he did that. And we talked earlier to Chuck Todd about should we impeach the Attorney General. To me, that's where I'd be going right now, because he did mislead the American public. Remember when Bill Clinton lied about Monica Lewinsky, it got him impeached. So I don't know why Barr doesn't fall under that same kind of scrutiny. And Bob Mueller, Steve, I told you before, my first case 25 years ago in the Justice Department was with Bob Mueller. The guy has an impeccable reputation for honesty, decency, and doing the right thing. And yesterday was just another example of it. He went right down the line on what he was supposed to do. He didn't offer any opinions other than what's in the report. And I agree with him. If he goes to Congress and testifies, he's not going to go beyond that report. And if they just read that report, they have all the evidence they need to do whatever they want to do. And I'm not suggesting they should impeach him, but the evidence is there.
Oh, I'm suggesting they should. Bill Clinton should have been impeached and removed from office, because when the standards changed and we suddenly allowed the president to act like the rest of us, that's when problems began that have led to this. Bill Clinton didn't create Donald Trump, but Bill Clinton led to the atmosphere that helped make Donald Trump somebody who could get to the White House. Donald Trump has violated every premise of the presidency and is all smoke and mirrors. And I don't know how long we're supposed to put up with it, because we're not getting any help from the Republican. You know, I used to see Republicans and I go, well, there's a Republican. I recognize him. He's a Republican. Look, there's another one. He's a good guy. Look at that good guy. Was John McCain the last good Republican?
Well, we got the congressman from Michigan now that's standing up and saying he wants to do something about it. But I do agree with what Chuck Todd said earlier. The political fallout for this for the Republicans, I think, will be down the road when they didn't uphold the rule of law, didn't stand for something. I do remember at some point when I became a Republican in 1980 or before that the conservative movement, the Republican Party, actually stood for some moral clarity, and we've lost all that now. We have Donald Trump's hijacked the party. Let's go beyond the morality play. we're now we're not free traders anymore. He's talking about a trade war now with the European Union. Mm-hmm. Now we got one with China. So this is so far removed from the conservative.
Well, but spending.
Any of it. You go down the line. He hijacked the party. He's not a conservative. He's not governing as any of the conservatives I have ever supported would. But he's no one standing up right now. But if you look at the electoral map, I talked to some buddies of mine in Arizona yesterday. He's going to have problems winning that state. So I don't know how the electoral map shakes out for him in 2020 unless something changes.
Well, I think we found out it depends on who the opponent is. Mitch McConnell has turned out to be worse than we ever thought he could be, and this week admitted in Kentucky that if there is a Supreme Court opening next year, he'd absolutely fill it with a stupid little smirk on his face.
I wonder.
So when are the people of Kentucky going to be able to throw him out? He's up for re-election.
He's up for re-election, but he seems to pull it out. You could probably say the same about what Lindsey Graham has done, the senator from South Carolina. I get politics. I mean, I work in it. I understand it. But at some point, and you've been saying this, you do have to stand up and call balls and strikes. And I think from what Bob Mueller laid out yesterday, we're already to that point, and we've only had one Republican so far. Mitt Romney's actually done a little bit, say anything outside the company line for the Republicans if we support this president, but you know, he's hijacked the party, and that's where we are.
And the reaction to Justin Amash has been pretty good. So
a standing ovation.
Yeah, so point being, the Democrats are missing the mark by not doing their constitutional duty congressional duty of constitutional oversight, and the Republicans are missing the mark by not even paying attention to Justin Amash and listening to this nonsense about kick him out of the party, because he's actually saying the right thing to do is to have a president who isn't a criminal.
I agree, and I got to tell you, from watching yesterday when Bob Mueller talked about the fact that you could not indict a sitting president because of the Justice Department guidelines, I never knew that was considered the standard for the constitutionality of a prosecutorial act. So I think a lot of people are surprised by that, and you started with that this morning. So the president can't be indicted by the Justice Department. To me, that's a pretty scary notion. I mean, we fought a revolution.
And that's why you have to test it in court. It has to be court tested, but you have to have an attorney general who is not the lapdog of the president.
But and I've been saying this for 4 years, impeachment is a bad thing. It's bad for the country. It's bad for the economy. It's bad for our institutions. Nobody comes out of it smelling good. I get the requirements of the oversight, and I think they should. But impeachment's such a drastic bad measure that I don't want to see it happen.
I understand you not wanting to see it happen, but the outcome, we spend every day waiting for something worse to happen than the day before. It's no way to live in this country.
But here's my complaint with the Democrats. This is why I asked Chuck Todd the question. Come up with a strategy.
They don't have one.
Put somebody in the box and let them testify to the 8 or 9 elements of obstruction that I read in the report, and let the American public know exactly what this president was up to. Not just that, let's talk about what the Russians did. But so far, they're fighting over tax return subpoenas. And I don't like subpoenaing someone's tax returns. That's your personal business, but that seems to be their argument. Let's get to the meat of the case, and they don't have anybody that's quarterbacking this so the American public understands truly what this report was all about.
We will come back in just a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Got a couple minutes left with Pat Brady. A texter asked a pretty good question, you being a former prosecutor, and that is, and you also read the Mueller report, of the obstruction of justice concerns, and there are, I think, 10 of them. Which of those would you prosecute?
All of them.
So it didn't have to have one.
I mean,
one
it's just
to
be
out?
One indictment with several counts, but probably the most egregious one is trying to get somebody to doctor up some documents to make it appear that he didn't do something that he did. But it's clearly, in my opinion, he clearly attempted to obstruct justice. If this were me or you or any corporate CEO, they probably would have been indicted. But I give them, you have to consider the target in this case, which is the president. He's the president of the United States, and there are considerations beyond what may be normal.
Well, the idea that we can't prosecute this president of the United States because of a policy, not a law, sets up such a ridiculously dangerous precedent that we haven't had to deal with in the past that it's hard to even think about.
Hey, think about it. We'll have a debate on whether or not we can criminally indict the sitting president of the United States. As important as that is, it's probably about 50 on the list of issues that we should be dealing with. including their threats from North Korea
listen,
and Iran and other places.
I agree 1,000%, but you cannot not deal with it.
I agree.
All right, one last thing. As you know, I'll back the media up all day, every day. This continued fascination with the story of whether or not the good ship John McCain had its name covered up because the White House requested or demanded that its name being covered up in Japan. Yeah, it's embarrassing, but he's petty and he's small, and it has nothing to do with the function of the world. And all three news networks, including the news channel CNN and MSNBC, are just going nuts over it this morning. Move on.
Yeah, I listened to it on CNN for an hour and a half, and I get it. Some advanced guy probably did this. The advanced guys aren't necessarily the White House guys, and they told him to do this, and it was stupid. And but, you know, had he not been so disrespectful to Senator McCain during when he was alive and after he died, maybe no one would cover this. But I think most times, the president creates his own problems.
And for those of you who think it was made up, Trump's already addressed it. And he said, well, you know, my people meant well. No.
Oh, is that what they said?
That's what Trump said.
On the way in, he denied any...
Yeah.
Either way, I agree with you. It's a stupid story, but it's not a story unless the president's already laid the groundwork for it being a story.
Enjoy your day, Pat Brady. I know you got to wrap up the Springfield thing, and we'll talk to you as time allows.
And happy birthday to Dave Ennett.
Happy birthday, Dave Ennett.
Thank you very much.
Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve is next.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
Time now for more on entertainment with a special guest in studio. I think it's a new feature. We're going to be making part of this new this old feature.
Yeah.
So we have special big shot guests in studio.
This is like when Frank Sinatra would come out on another guest on the Johnny Carson show.
This woman is much more attractive than Frank Sinatra. Mm-hmm. Kelly Rizzo's here, and Kelly is one of the most influential social media influencers, and I'm back home in Chicago where she belongs. Have you seen your family yet?
I've seen my sister, but I have to say that you guys, I got in late last night, and you guys are the first friendly Chicago faces I've seen so far. This is such a treat to
wake up. Well, we're family.
I know.
Right?
But we're not blood.
Does it
maybe
really
Dean
matter?
Is blood, yeah.
Not yet, but the segment's early.
I'm just so happy to be here, guys.
And with my sketchy family history, who knows?
Yeah.
Right?
So Kelly is Eat Travel Rock, I think is her, if you know her.
And you should follow all that she does. Are you working this weekend? Is that one of the reasons you're in town?
I am working tirelessly this weekend. I'm so excited. I'm here filming two episodes of Eat Travel Rock TV with Chevy Drive Chicago, going to a lot of really cool, fun summer spots. Taking a little tour around the town and going to show you guys some of the best spots to go this summer.
And I'm a Chevy guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My Kelly, town
is downstairs.
Do I remember correctly, Kelly, that you were also once a realtor, or maybe still are?
I was a realtor for 20 years.
Wow.
Well, I guess.
What?
Practiced for 18 years.
Hold on a second. 20 years?
Yeah. I got licensed in 1999.
So when you were four?
When I was 20. So 20 years ago, yeah.
And I too.
Stopped,
that's why
I stopped really.
Oh, that's why Dean's a celebrity realtor, so he knows this.
Yeah. Oh. There's Dean's music. He's actually put a listing on this building.
And Dean Kelly's going to be like over to at TV out. With you tomorrow. She's
yeah.
Gonna
oh,
be over
good. No, we can talk real estate tomorrow. Yeah.
How did you know Kelly was a realtor?
I read it.
No, you did your homework. Yeah. Look at you. Look at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it was my family's still in the business here in the city, so
oh,
it's kind
oh,
of
oh, I know.
It's kind of a name in real estate. Everyone knows the Rizzo team. So,
and I think because you live in L.A. as well as you know coming here all the time, not enough, but certainly today we appreciate it.
Oh.
L.A. real estate never more reasonable. I think so many good deals, especially where Dean Malibu a good place.
Most of them, yeah. Most of the big ones are in Malibu. If we have time later, I've got a honey of a deal. In Australia right now.
Oh my gosh,
we will make time.
L.A. real estate is absolutely nuts.
Dean, you talk to social media big shots all the time, and I know you look forward to having Kelly on tomorrow, but most of them aren't nearly as successful as Kelly, are they?
No, most of them honestly are sort of, I don't want to say, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. Many of them are. They, you know, are not able to parlay their social media success into something a little more substantive, especially the way Kelly has. I mean, you're sort of textbook for how to do this properly, I think.
Well, that is very, very kind of you. I think that the key to it, and something I've always said, is that you have to really have a full 360 approach. And that's what's going to make you stand out. Where a lot of people are just Instagrammers or they're just on Twitter.
You got to be everywhere.
And that can't really sustain you. I mean, it might make you do really well for the time being, but like, where's it going to go in the long term? Okay. So if you have other things to back it up, whether it's, you know, video content, or you do TV, radio, live events, you know, whatever it is, you have to get in front of as many people as possible in different formats.
The question that Dean and I have from the home that we live in is, how do you possibly make the time work? Because, you know, you have not looked at your phone the entire time we've been talking, and I find that impressive.
For because, 3 whole minutes.
Because, Dean, as you know, the rest of the world's looking down at their phone all the time, right? Because they're posting something or they're reading something somebody else posted. So how do you manage the time?
Well, the nice thing is, when you have this career where you're in digital media, you really can make your own schedule. So for the
but do
most
you have help?
Part, no, I do everything myself in terms of,
magician,
you know, my data. Well, I mean, it's nice to be able to, you know, kind of format your own day. However, I do think it's important to put the phone down sometimes. I can't stand when, you know, people are walking down the street and you're looking in your phone and they're bumping into people, or at dinner. I mean, that's something that I
yeah. Why go out with people, right? Why go out with people if you're just
exactly.
going to stare at your phone?
I try to have a no phones rule at dinner, and actually, it's almost more difficult to get my husband to put his phone down. He's the one that
sag
always,
it.
Yeah,
come on, man.
He's the one always picking up his phone. I'm like,
Steve, you are one of
dinner?
Those. You police a lot of phoning, but you're on your phone.
I'm on my phone a lot. Yes. However,
very hypocritical.
I know.
However, I fully advocate, Dean, if I'm in a crosswalk and I'm looking at my phone, you can run me down.
Yep.
Just run me over, because I deserve it at that point.
I think for some people, it's like sort of a nervous habit now. They're not even, you know, looking for anything. It's just something, it's a nervous habit.
You don't know what else to do with yourself. Yep. People can't just be. They can't just be with themselves and their own thoughts. They constantly have to be looking at the phone for something to distract them.
Sometimes it can provide good content, though. Like, my husband and I will be on the couch, and I said, you have to see this. And then we mock people and things that we're looking at on our
phone. Well, if you're mocking somebody, that's different.
Yeah, we fully endorse that.
Mocking is acceptable at all times.
Kelly Rizzo is here. You travel rock. More on that in a second. When we come back, Dean, along with your honey of a deal, Tom Petty, a Star Trek situation. Wasn't that a band called Star Trek Situation?
Yes.
I think I was. Beatles story, Arnold Schwarzenegger story all coming up. Is there really an Arnold Schwarzenegger rap song?
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to hear
I'm
that.
Play some of it for you.
Can't wait to hear that.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
Back to Channel 9 and Dean Richards and special guest Kelly Rizzo in here. Kelly, if you knew this segment was called More on Entertainment or More on Entertainment, would you still agree to do it?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
How do we seem on it, like 1 to 10 morons? Mm-hmm. Where would you rate
like
us?
10 really a moron, 1 a genius. Where would you put Dean and I?
2.
Right. A 2.
Yeah.
Oh, that's super nice.
We're not trying
1.63.
hard enough.
Complete nonsense, but super nice.
We're not trying hard enough then.
Tom Petty, what's the story?
Tom Petty's family is in one of these horrible disputes that happen when somebody passes away and the family starts battling over, you know, possessions and rights. When he died 2 years ago, he left his estate. He split his estate between his two daughters from his first marriage and his second wife. The daughters want more control now. They want control of the father's music catalog. That could be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. But also one of the things that they're fighting about is that the daughters want to put Tom Petty's likeness into a product line, sell products with Tom Petty's likeness on it, the way Paul Newman's likeness is on salad dressing and pasta sauce. The stepmother, Tom Petty's wife, when he passed away, said Tom Petty would have never sold out like that.
This is, you know, the Prince's family is going through this. But it's just not, it's not just rich folks. I mean, we see this all the time. You get a divorce. Dad wanted this, and it doesn't turn out that way. Mom wanted this, doesn't turn out that way. And the worst thing you can do in the memory of somebody is fight over the stuff. So what do we need to do? Specific wills? They're not specific enough?
Well, it's, it sounds like it was, you know, pretty specific. The, you know, they split the estate half and half. And, you know, what you know, the daughters want more control than what was originally given to them.
And it doesn't cover specifically if you're putting your face on salad dressing.
Right. And now the salad dressing clause I'd like to read aloud.
Well, Paul Newman, he was alive when he started doing that. It was his choice to start that company. Like they said, I'm sure Tom Petty would probably not want his face,
Petty mayonnaise.
Right, splattered all over a bunch of, you know.
Stop
merch.
Dragging my salad around. That kind of matter. What's the Star Trek story?
And the other story, you remember from the original Star Trek TV series, the actress who's best known as Uhura, her name is Nichelle Nichols. She is now 86 years old.
I had no idea. I mean, it makes sense, right? People get older.
Right.
But you, I picture her as this babe, you know, in a Star Trek outfit from, like, what was it, 60-something?
Yeah, 1966 is when the...
When I was five.
When the show debuted, and now apparently she is not in the best of health physically or emotionally, and her son has been named the legal guardian of her. Her manager is disputing it, saying that's not what she would have wanted. He claims to have a video of her screaming in protest as she was told that her son now is the legal guardian. The manager says all the son wants is the money, the estate, the income, the property, and is not really interested in his mother's best interest.
Well, it's about as awful as it gets, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. The Uhura.
Not good. What's this Beatles story?
Beam her out of there. There was a popular television show on the BBC, Steve. You know, as a big Anglophile, all things British.
Yeah. No, of course I do.
The only reason I'm bringing this story up is so Steve could do his Queen.
The Queen voice.
Yeah, I bring up a British story every day for no reason except we try and want to get Steve to do the British story. But
and coincidentally, if I dress and drag, and Lord knows I have, because who doesn't want to feel pretty on the weekends, I look like Mrs. Doubtfire. And you'll notice the voice, the Queen voice, is very similar to Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, the only giveaway is when Steve wears the tiara, he has to duct tape it to his head.
Yeah, because it's a big head.
Yeah, because there's nothing to hold on to.
We can't get a size 7 7/8 tiara. Yeah, I don't know
same
why.
With me. Same. There's no hair to hold on to anything.
Do they have a big and tall tiara shop that I could go into?
I'm not aware of that. I'm going to have to check into that. But anyway, there was this show called Top of the Pops, and the Beatles appeared on it in June of 1966. It was their only live television performance on the BBC. And up until about a month ago, there was no footage found. Somebody found 11 seconds of it, and they showed it on television. That spurred another collector to remember that he had some 8mm films up in a suitcase in his attic. He went up there and checked them out, and it was the rest of the performance. So Beatles experts are saying that this is the Beatles' holy grail to have this very rare performance. And they're going to debut it at a university in the UK.
Well, what kind of numbnut has that sitting in his attic and goes, oh, yeah, I forgot.
Because if you're a collector, Steve, though, we know that with being in a business where we have archived a lot and then they've archived too much and we don't know what to do with it. And, you know, people get rid of it or buy it or sell. You know, like you can be sitting on a lot. And I know that's actually television footage, but we've watched the John Lennon and Yoko Ono Netflix thing. And they were like being filmed constantly, and so like you, that is tons and tons and tons of footage of material, and so you can't, you know, unless you're like got your own records and archive system going, you know, like you have too much to save.
I could see like Paul McCartney would forget that he has something cool in the attic because he was the Beatles. If you just were a fan or management or associated with a band, I don't know how you wouldn't know you had stuff that was worth all that
money. I'm thinking that like fan/collector really is just a much more polite way of saying a hoarder.
Yeah.
who may have...
They got a lot of stuff, Dean,
kinds of stuff up in that attic. But he remembered that he had these old film clips, these old films, these little 8mm films. It's amazing that they hadn't really disintegrated.
Remember when I had the Mona Lisa and I forgot and I eventually sent it back to France?
Yeah. That's a good point, Dean, because usually you have to bake those to like extend their life and things.
They are extremely fragile. I mean, anybody that has old home movies or anything, you know, if you haven't done some kind of digital conversion on those, you can pretty much expect the film. I mean, the film itself will still be there, but I don't know if it's oxide or whatever it is that's used on the film to preserve the image, that's going to disintegrate off. That's going to go. So
I don't get a dime for this, and Lord knows I should, but a big proponent of Legacy Bucks. Did you ever do the Legacy Box thing?
I'm putting mine together, but I think it's great. Yeah. I'm putting old Super 8 videos from
when you celebrated your 25th anniversary in show business.
Yeah, that was it.
I did that too. I digitized all the family pictures and home movies.
And there's other ways to do it, but on Legacy Box, I found to be a very a reliable service. Because the weird thing is, you have these very valuable things in your life, and you're going to send it to somebody who I don't know. And assume they're going to take care of it and then send it back to me. So once you get over that little trust hump, you're fine.
I like looking at the old footage. You know, you're able to look at things, you know, more often because it's much easier to access. And I like looking at home movies of me as a little kid. It makes me feel better about myself now.
Can we go back?
Wasn't I in a band called Trust Hump?
Never mind. Yeah, that's going to have to be worked into the Moron Entertainment presentation.
Do we have a honey of a deal before we get to Schwarzenegger?
Yes, we do. One real estate agent to another, Kelly.
Kelly, you and Dean, don't get bogged down in shop talk here. Try to let the rest of us relate.
Yeah, I don't want to like throw this in your face or anything, because I know if you get a real estate listing, you don't want to throw it in somebody else's face that you got a great deal. And
can't we all just get along?
Do.
Oh, you do.
You do.
Oh, you want to rub it in?
I mean, subtly.
All right, what is it?
It's Olivia Newton-John's estate that she has owned since back in the day, when during the super popular heyday when she was the top of the charts in Australia. It's Australian farmland. And
does it feature Australian farm animals?
There are Australian farm animals rolling the estate. It is, let me see here. I'm trying to just, I'm looking through all the paperwork here. It is, you'd think I would have this way more organized.
I'm telling you, Kelly is so close to just grabbing this deal right out from under you.
This may be why my real estate career is not what I was hoping that it would be. It's 40 minutes from a celebrity and tourist favorite area called Byron Bay.
Okay.
It's a mixture of rolling pasture and green lawns with panoramic views. The main residence has 3 bedrooms and 2 baths, but an attached 4-room guest quarters, 2-car garage, and tennis court. Steve, listen to this now. This is, you want to talk honey of a deal.
Right.
Olivia Newton-John has lived in this house for 4 decades.
Okay.
I can get this property to you today for $5.5 million.
Well, as usual, cash is king. I have $222 in my wallet right now, and I'm throwing that out there.
You are walking around with some cash today.
I have $87. Can I add that?
Absolutely. Well, we're a partnership.
That's great.
Right. Yeah. I have
$309. Oh, Dave's got a lot.
I have $56, plus I have 5 raffle tickets for the Illinois Patriot Education Fund golf outing.
Which was last Monday?
Which was Monday.
It was okay.
Or Tuesday, actually. That's $365. Sandberg, you want in?
I have no cash, ever. I have a credit card.
Well, we have $365 in cash, Dean. And I know what you usually tell me. That's not
$5 million. It's not $5.5 million. And I'll put the offer in.
You walk $365 in cash over there, and you tell us they're not going to take it.
I'll walk the deal over. Kelly, what would you do at this point? I mean, it's...
Well, I would at least like to buy me... I'm sure they have some sheep on the property. Maybe the $365 could get us, like, a sheep.
So, like, 1 sheep.
Yeah.
Or maybe at least a rent-to-own kind of sheep situation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like an Uber sheep.
I have $100 that I was going to spend on Dave for his birthday.
Oh, well, throw it in.
Throw it in. That's good.
$465. Michael, you got any money?
I'm going to spend $100.
Is Viv in there? Does Viv have any money?
I don't know if it matters, but
$4.
Steve already,
Viv has $4. We're at $469.
Steve already has several sheep at his house now. So.
Well, that's between me and the sheep. What's the Schwarzenegger story?
Arnold Schwarzenegger is part of a rap song. He's making his rap debut.
God, please no.
Oh, yes. It's a song that was recorded by an Austrian pop star named Andreas Gabler.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Arnold Schwarzenegger tribute song called Pump It Up.
Is he sampled in it or something?
Arnold actually sings on it. It's sampled. It's actual rapping.
How awful is this going to be?
It starts off with the Australian pop star, and then Arnold pumps in.
He was born in Austria. He had a dream to become a star. A poor young guy, but never shy. Said, here I am, hold on.
Hey, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. Listen carefully. Dig deep down and ask yourself, who do you wanna be? I don't wanna hear it can't be done. Give always something back. My name is Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'll be back.
How about that?
I think he should be kicked out of show business at noon today.
That's
in a formal ceremony, I think he should be removed from show business.
Get out of here.
I kind of like it. I think it's strong.
Inspired.
Kelly, Eat, Travel,
I'm
Rock.
I'm going to do some steroids right now. I feel so inspired.
Kelly, this is your area. Eat, Travel, Rock.
I don't know. I have such a soft spot for Schwarzenegger. I love him, so he can, I mean.
You're allowing him to stay. I'm rescinding the ceremony. The ceremony to remove Arnold Schwarzenegger from show business is now canceled.
I grew up watching his movies. My dad would literally sit me down and have me watch, like, Commando and Predator when I was six years old.
Oh, what a sweet father-daughter memory.
Sweet. We watch it as a family.
I'm also a big fan from a young boy right now. I'm just wearing those little Speedo trunks that he used to wear when he would work out.
Does that make Larry and Robin feel awkward at all?
A little uncomfortable around the office. Not for me, but...
Kelly, when you go to Channel 9 tomorrow, if Dean's in a Speedo, you come right back here.
I will be.
Consider this your safe zone.
There. I'm just kidding. It'll be a welcome sight.
More on entertainment. That's what we do. Thanks, buddy.
See you tomorrow, Kelly.
See you tomorrow.
Kelly Rizzo. You know what time you're on tomorrow?
I think 9:40.
9 o'clock hour tomorrow on Channel 9. You're permitted to watch that and then immediately return to the show when the segment's over. We'll come back with your headlines. Are we doing it right now? Quick break. We're doing it now. Now, Dave, what do you got?
I'm Kelly Rizzo, and my extreme passion for food, travel, and music fuels my entire life. From growing up in a Sicilian family in Chicago who raised me to explore and expand my palate, to learning everything I can about the travel industry and putting it to use, and spending my years immersed in the culture and lifeblood that is rock and roll, I now want to share it all with you. Come with me to experience the hottest destinations of food, travel, and music around the world. It's time to eat, travel, rock.
Lightning and the thunder.
Kelly Rizzo in studio. Back to work a little bit and see family. She's a good Chicago girl. EatTravelRock.com, EatTravelRock all over social media. Let's talk about the travel piece for a second. Where do we need to go?
Oh, geez, let's see. I just got back from Cabo this week, and I have to say, it's changed so... Have you guys been there?
I have not been to Cabo.
I have. So Steve is Mr. Anti-Mexico.
No, that's not true. I'm not a huge fan of Mexico. I'm not anti-Mexico. It's just not my favorite place.
He's not big on sitting around, relaxing, enjoying good
I can't
food
sit on
the
beach.
In the sun.
Can't
you
sit
know,
on the beach.
So.
You're not a beach chill kind of guy. Right. Well,
imagine the floppy hat.
Well, you know, you get a floppy hat, but it's changed so much.
It has.
And Cabo is, well, okay. Keep in mind, coming from LA, where I live most of the time, you know, it's an hour 50-minute flight.
Cake, yeah.
It's super easy, and it's just so beautiful down there. So Cabo's great if you're looking for something else in Mexico that's not Cancun.
What about security? You know? I mean, do you have to go to an all-inclusive, or are there good local places where you can feel safe?
I don't do the all-inclusive thing. I just always feel the food is not really up to par.
Right.
And I've been hearing lately that they water down the drinks, and you are not really getting what you think you're getting. You might be paying, well, actually, if it's all-inclusive, but they'll give you a shot of something, and it's actually not that booze that you think you're getting.
I would rather have one good drink than four subpar whatever.
Well, let's go to Dave on the booze. Dave, it's your birthday today. How do you feel about watered down drinks?
Well, there was a problem, though. I've been to those all-inclusives, and there was a problem with that. And I think that Wasn't there an issue where they weren't regulating the some of the liquor that
in
they were
Mexico?
Serving?
Yeah. A lack of regulation?
No, but I think there was, wasn't there a girl who died?
Yeah, there's a girl who died. I think there's different levels of resorts, you know, like, I don't want to paint a picture that there's plenty of high-end ones that not have, you know.
But what about the security?
The Hyatt Ziva is really regulated because Hyatt, you know, like, there's...
But we hear all this stuff about how dangerous Mexico has become. Is it hype or is it real?
It's definitely real, but once again, depending on where you go, depending on how you go. If you are, you know, a bunch of 18-year-old girls spring breaking and you're out in Cancun until 3 in the morning, walking down the beach, you know, without...
You're asking for problems.
Right, exactly. However, you know, keep in mind when I travel when I travel on my own or with friends or when I'm filming, I usually go somewhere a little bit more middle of the road. But when I travel with my husband, he likes to, you know, really have a very, you know, exclusive private experience. So we'll usually stay at a place that's more quiet, a little bit more private, and has great security. So that's how we've done it lately.
Have you learned trial and error? Is there somebody that you depend on for their expertise locally?
I would say when you go there, if you're staying at one of the really great resorts, they all have amazing, you know, guides and concierge that within the resort, so they really help you. Even if you're leaving the resort to do an excursion, they help you and guide you and make sure that you get set up with the best people that are very reputable.
What's a good road trip? You do road trips?
I do.
Because your city guides at eTravelRock.com are all great.
Yeah, my favorite one of the last few years would be up the California coast, up the central coast. Let's say driving from L.A., you're going up north through Santa Barbara, then through San Luis Obispo, and then finally ending up in like the Big Sur, Carmel,
that's
Monterey
crazy
area.
Beautiful.
It's so beautiful. And that's, I mean, it's really only, you know, 5-6 hours, so it doesn't have to be this very extensive road trip.
And there's a million cool places to stop, right?
So many different types of terrain, and, you know, you have the beaches, you have the cliffs. It's so beautiful for, you know, you could do that just for a couple days.
Prior to when your life expanded and you moved to L.A., when you were here with your family growing up, was there a road trip you would take?
My family was not the road trip family. All we did for vacations was we did Florida and Vegas. And my whole life
Vegas,
growing
the
up,
family vacation.
We had Clearwater, Florida to visit my grandma, and then we had Vegas since I was 16 years old. So we
Why Vegas? Your parents liked it?
My mom's always been a huge Vegas fan. We were just actually there 2 weeks ago for Mother's Day. She flew out and
really?
My sister and I met her there, and she'll gamble till 3 in the morning, and she always wins. And she,
is she a player, or is she sitting at the nickel slots?
No. She plays blackjack, and she plays...
That's
she's
hilarious.
Really, she got me into... I think it's called Crazy Four Poker. We started playing that, and that's so
I don't know
fun.
Crazy Four Poker.
I think it's a newer kind of trendier game. Maybe they only have it at some casinos.
Did you win? Did you pay attention to mom?
I won like $300. She did a lot better than I did. But yeah, it was really fun. So that was our road trips growing up were Vegas and Florida. I guess sometimes we did like the Wisconsin, you know. Six Flags type thing, but I don't know how much of a road trip that is.
I think the last time you were on, we were talking about music locally, and there's a million great places to see cool music in town, including a lot of places that kind of easily get stamped as touristy that really aren't. But what do you like now?
Actually, I have something for you guys. This weekend, I think Friday through Sunday, is Due Division Fest.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a really cool street festival in Wicker Park. It's on Division from Damon to Levitt. And if you want to see some great like local live bands, obviously the great food, all the restaurants there in Wicker Park. You know,
Michael, you're a music guy. You going out to Division Fest?
Do Division.
Yeah, I'll be out there.
Yeah, are you going to be there?
I knew Michael would be there.
It's an amazing festival. It's great, great.
Michael
place to
goes
be.
To everything, everywhere, all
I
the
do.
Time. That's
I know.
That's,
he always knows the good music and the good bands.
Yeah. So he'll report on that later on. When we come back. I just want to ask you before we run out of time, what's a nice Italian girl eat when she's not eating Italian food? And when
sushi.
You come home, well, save that. Save that. It might be sushi.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
One of the worst things you can do to a comedian is introduce him as one of the funniest people in the world. My friend Pat McGann, one of the funniest people in the world, will be here in just a few minutes. You're not here yet, are you?
No.
Okay, just checking.
few minutes.
I only got a few minutes left with our friend Kelly Rizzo. Eat Travel Rock. She's in town to work. Follow her at Eat Travel Rock everywhere. But let's talk about you, you little Sicilian. You grew up and you were allowed to eat other than Italian.
Yeah. Well, when my Nana cooked for us, that's all, obviously, we ate, let's say, half the week. Because she cooked for us all the time. So other than that, I think, well, growing up, keep in mind, you know, let's say in the 80s, 90s, it was a lot of more casual fast food type things. And then on the weekends, it was the Sicilian food. But now my palate has expanded.
Well, you're, you know, living in California, you know, you kind of, it's a thing to do. But you love sushi.
I do.
Where do you eat sushi in town?
Well, we were just talking about Sunda. Sunda's great. You can never go wrong there. And yeah, they just had their 10-year anniversary, but they are always so consistent. And you can have things other than sushi there, which is great. But if you like sushi, it's always a good spot. Tried and true. Kaizen. Have you guys been to Kaizen?
I've not.
It's in
West. You know Kaizen? You go to every restaurant in the world.
Yes, we have been there.
And?
Where it's amazing. I also like Union Sushi. That's right by my sister's house. We go there a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, Union's good. I haven't been there in a while.
You ever get the pre-wrapped stuff at Mariano's?
See, this is why you're not here yet.
Sorry. You know what? Honestly, Mariano's, they have a sushi bar there, and they have their sushi's actually fantastic.
It is, see?
It's fresh, they make it.
It's really good.
What are you talking about?
It's fresh.
Yeah, but you can sit and eat it there. They have an actual sushi chef.
And you can order it to, like, if you're avoiding the rice and all that.
Yeah, they make it to order, and you sit at the little bar, and I've actually had a meal at Mariano's.
The Walgreens has it, too, across from Tribune Tower. And the next of the
and I'm sure that's made fresh at the moment as well by the Walgreens pharmacy
that's
department.
That's where I draw the line. The crab roll things. The crab is so pink because it's fake. Whatever. It's like the brightest color pink you could see.
You know the problem with the real crab. It just tastes
the
like
imitation
crab.
Imitation crab meat.
Imitation. That's the word. Sorry.
Yeah. It's no good. No good at all. It's great to see you.
So great to see you guys. This is so fun actually coming in the station. This is amazing. I'm here like once a month, so next time.
Well, now you're committed.
We'll try to do a non-phone call next time.
Yeah, now you're committed. Now whenever you can, you come in.
And I mean, this view, I mean, come on, this is incredible. I wish you guys could all see it.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. As a matter of fact, come by. Anyone listening now? There's only a few hundred thousand
everyone
of you swinging.
Everyone, come on by.
303 Swacker. Get by security. You headed to work right now, so thank you for hanging for all the extra time this morning.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys. This is so great.
Kelly Rizzo, and we follow you at eTravelRock.com. Anything else we need to know plug-wise?
That's it. Just filming some great stuff this weekend, and I will share that with you guys next time I'm here.
Please tell Mr. Saget we said hello.
I will.
All right. All the best. Coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, it's Steve Gazzani. Stand by for that. I want to say hi to my friend Pat McGann, who's been on the road almost nonstop. I don't know how he does it. How do you do it?
You know, it's not bad. It's just weekends, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a grind, but...
You're working with Sebastian Maniscalco, who's as hot as anybody in comedy, and you're opening for him all over the world. You did the Madison Square Garden shows?
I did, yeah. That was a thrill.
How many were there?
Four.
Four shows?
Yeah, it was like... it was in January. It was a blast.
And where else did you play? You played some ridiculously big venues.
We've done... we did the arena in Toronto, where the Raptors play. They're about to kick off the NBA Finals.
Sebastian works in a really big room because he's so physical.
Right. It works for him doing it. And he would even say that he prefers, I think, more intimate setting. But with the screens now that they have, the high-def screens, and how he works it in the round. I went up at the Garden. I went up in another arena we did and watched it from like up high. And it works. It really does.
You're in the same arena, so is it working for your stuff?
Yeah,
there?
I mean, but
that's the one I wonder because.
But I'm not as
you're not. You're
much
funny
of a performer as he is. You
yeah,
know?
You're
I'm
funny
not as physical
in a more traditional way.
Yeah,
you're funny in a more traditional way, and you're funny, smart, and you're not flaunt. You're not throwing your arms around and flailing and all that all the time. So the screens had to help you too. I would.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I'm able to sneak up on those people. You know, they're to see him. They're excited about the night. And it's just a ride. I mean, we got to do some, like, not only arenas, but, like, these historic theaters and all over the country, like the Fox in Detroit, and they have one in Atlanta, too. Like,
now, see, I've
like, beautiful theater.
I've opened for big band acts all the time, including Cher, who wanted to put one of her headpieces on me.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't find the right size. But I've never opened for another comic in a big room. Usually when you go out and open for a band, they'll screen for the band.
Right, right.
And the only time I ever opened for another comic in a larger room was for Howie Mandel, and they screamed Howie a lot. what's it like with Sebastian? Because they're so nuts for him. Were the crowds good to you? Did they give you a chance to be funny?
Yes. Yeah, they're receptive, and they are, like I said, when I come out there, they're pretty focused. Usually the theater is pretty much sat. Like, they hold for me, so it's not like I'm going out there where everyone's still finding their seats and all that. And
which is good.
They're great. They're a really nice crowd. They're a smart crowd. They're fun. They really are.
And Sebastian's a nice guy, for those people that don't know.
And
hasn't turned into a show business jerk.
Right. And the difference is, like, people listening, like, at comedy clubs, occasionally they might paper the room. They
paper means free tickets.
Free tickets. Give. But these people are invested in the show. They have bought tickets. They probably fought people online to get them. They are excited to be there. They are ready to go. They're juiced.
Well, I love that more people are getting a chance to see you.
Oh, thank you,
Kelly Rizzo, you got to see Pat McGann when you can. He's very, very funny. He's even funnier than he's been here so far.
Yeah, right.
I'm there. I'm there.
It's 9:01. We're back in a moment with the remaining of the 9 o'clock hour that just started. Hi to everybody on CLTV. Does CLTV know it's your birthday?
I don't know if they know.
Saving its birthday.
They know now.
Happy birthday, Dave. Yeah.
Thank you, Pat.
Man. Kelly Rizzo decided she's going to do an Eat, Travel, Rock full segment on Dave's birthday today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Thanks, Kelly.
Starting at Walgreens with the sushi.
Totally.
This is Dave's favorite.
WGN Radio wants to send you on a Blackhawks getaway for two. I will take you to Europe. We're going to go to Prague. We're going to watch the Hawks play hockey. I'm going to take over that big castle. Yeah, it's all part of the plan. We will qualify people starting weekday mornings at 7:40 every day, including tomorrow. And then next Friday, a week from tomorrow, we'll give away the trip. We've got a little surprise, too, we've cooked up. Can't tell you what it is. Even though Abigail would say, what is it? I'll tell her. I won't tell you.
I'm in love with your body. Why, oh, why, oh, why, oh. We all tune to Dave and you, and you, and you. We all tune to Dave and you, and you, and you, and you.
That's from the musical director John DeCostas. We apparently count each person who's following you, and you, and you, and you, and you.
I haven't heard that in a while.
Oh, yeah. It's Dave Bennett's birthday. Pat McGann's here, and before we say hi to the lovely and talented Anna DeVlantis, who's nice enough to come by and hang out with us.
Hey, guys.
Doesn't help her property value.
No.
Pat McGann, let's talk White Sox for a second.
Yes, sure.
These are your guys. This is your team. You were with the White Sox and they won the World Series in the front of the bus.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I did go out for the parade that day,
and the White Sox even during the struggle, as things start to improve now in the past couple of years, you never deserted them. You're there for them.
No, never deserted them.
So what's up with this team?
I was just saying that to Joe, that your producer, like, I don't know
who's nuts for the White Sox.
What their identity is, but they're fun to watch. I mean, I think that they're clearly in the midst of the rebuild. I loved, like, the series down in Houston. They took two games after losing the first two, and they're hanging in there.
So
I think they're going to be around 500 this year.
And I predicted 500 in the spring. So you're seeing things. You're seeing things you like.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, I think everyone's seeing things. And they have a lot of injuries right now, too. And to be playing the way they are, they seem to have some chemistry, and they have an identity.
Were you a good baseball player?
I was decent. I could not hit.
Did you play in high school?
No, I did not. I played basketball. I was more basketball.
If I had a magic wand, I don't think I don't, and you could play for the White Sox or continue your meteoric rise as one of America's great stand-up comedians, what would you do?
I think I'd like what I'm doing now, doing stand-up.
Because you can't hit?
Because I can do it till I'm like 60.
Right.
I can do it till I'm,
right.
I can
right.
do it forever.
What do you mean till you're 60?
I know.
I can do it 60. Forever. Wait a minute. I got 18 months? What is that?
No, I mean, you know, I could play forever.
Yeah,
forever. I just met a forever comic this past weekend in Vegas. Pat Cooper. Remember Pat Cooper?
Oh, my God.
He came out to Sebastian's show.
How old is he?
I got meet him after. He's
got to be.
He's not 89, I think. 89.
Is he still working?
Standing upright. Just awesome.
He's a New York tough guy.
Yeah, he was phenomenal.
Is he still working? Still doing shows?
A little bit. Not a ton, but I think a little bit. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Anna DeVlantis, how are you?
Good morning and happy birthday to Dave Ennett. I also baked him some cookies.
Oh,
and I
Anna.
Think you'll really like these because they're, I thought of you, they're chocolate chip kale.
Oh, really?
Yeah, chocolate chip kale cookies.
Oh, she really.
Here you go. There is kale in them. You see the green in them?
Let me just tell you something.
I do.
And we know Dave likes kale.
I thought we were friends.
Well, what's wrong with, what do you mean?
How dare you bring kale in here?
It's for Dave. It's his birthday. Not your day. It's his day.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
His birthday.
And Steve, you know I would be offended if you didn't at least taste one.
Of course I'll try one.
Okay. Thank you, Anna. This
and I
is
also
great.
Use ghee in an event with butter. You know, kind of split it because it makes it a little healthier. I know Dave's into
what?
The health ghee.
All right, I've got an issue here.
What is
ghee?
You it's a clarified bubble.
You
butter.
Can't put kale on a here's chocolate a
real,
chip
no,
cookie.
No, it's a really, really? Good batter.
Yeah. Here's the situation. Earlier, I gave Dave Bennett healthy cookies that I baked that I just have smashed bananas, oats, and chocolate chips.
Yeah.
Did he eat one?
Which I loved. I
he
ate
it, but it took a while to eat it. Anna hands him a plate of cookies, and he takes a bite in seconds.
we're in the last hour, last hour of the show.
And because right. they're green.
And time is ticking.
Yes. Yeah. Is there...
Now, is there any way, Anna, for me to pick the kale out of these?
No,
while, you know?
No. They're solidly wrapped in there, little bits.
This is a good cookie.
They're all
it's
over.
Really good.
Kale is really hard to cook with, too. By the way,
it is. And actually, it started very to fall good. Apart because of the kale. So yeah. it was sort of an experiment that sort of failed. But the taste, I think,
Anna,
is okay.
That's
these are really good.
Thank you so
You're
much.
Welcome.
You know what I love about these? You barely taste the kale.
But you can see it. Does that freak you out?
No, not at all.
Both Anna and Mary.
Well done.
Really treated me well today.
Does it make it healthy to have the kale in it? Or it's a chocolate chip cookie and you guys are trying to like alleviate guilt from that or something?
Yeah, that's probably yeah.
Basically just letting Dave
it's
feel
still
good
a chocolate
about
chip
no
cookie.
Sense.
No.
I saw the recipe. I thought of Dave.
Oh, I thought you made it up.
No. This is out there.
Really?
This stuff is out there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, looks
sure.
like you made
I
it up.
2 years ago, Mary made a
They're very
kale
good.
Cake.
Thank
I forget what
happened.
Yeah, what was it, Mary, though? What was the flavor of the cake besides kale?
I don't remember. It was just...
Was it applesauce or something?
Yeah, there was applesauce, I think.
That was great.
And you were the only one that liked
it, Dave. Bennett liked it.
No, I think Steve Grzanich liked
it.
No.
That's like making an apple pie with there's broccoli in it.
Right.
I like
Why
it.
Why ruin it?
Why?
Yeah, right?
You're still going to eat the apple pie.
Now, is this the recreational kale, or what kind of kale are we talking
this
about?
This is organic kale with it looks on the big stem, you know, the stuff that looks really
medical
like you would
kale.
Never want to eat it,
yeah.
And then you kind of make it edible.
make it edible.
Now, these are thin cookies, and I don't know, have you ever had Sandberg super thin chocolate chip cookies?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking when Sandberg opens her bakery, where she makes the super thin chocolate chip cookies, you could offer these as a specialty item.
I like Anna's.
I would love
Those
to.
Good.
Yeah.
I try to like, you know, substitute healthy ingredients. Doesn't always work, but here we go.
These are good.
I believe you've done something miraculous. You've made these taste good and they have kale in them.
Steve just ate kale.
And the ghee.
Mark this day down.
And ghee?
And ghee.
I don't know what ghee is.
You know ghee, right, Mary?
Oh, I know ghee, yeah. I'm not really surprised that Steve doesn't know ghee.
Remember the great,
Do we have less ghee in
food? Wear when you fight?
One of the great Montreal Friday. Canadiens teams.
Ghee.
Ghee.
I do not know ghee. I don't know ghee.
What is ghee?
It's clarified butter, supposedly better for you. I don't think you can cook just with it because
Was the butter
it doesn't
confused?
Substitute exactly.
Why do we need clarified butter? I don't know what that means. What is clarified butter?
It's supposedly a little better for you. That's
better
all.
For
it's
you.
Just
yeah.
better for you.
You can't use it, though, because like the cookie, I've tried to use it just that, and it doesn't hold up.
Yeah, that's you a problem. The consistency.
Yeah, it's like a...
It's the harmful cholesterol part of it is sort of lower in the ghee.
Is it like chiffon? Do you remember that? If you think it's butter, but it's not.
Oh, no. It's not quite
I can't
like
believe
that.
It's not butter.
Yeah. When I open my bakery, I'll only be using the cholesterol-filled butter because those cookies have a pound of butter in
you
them.
You kind of need it, yeah. I found, with this particular cookie. But
if you want
I tried.
To come back.
Where's Grzanich? Because he needs to try one of these cookies.
Does he like kale?
Oh, no.
No, but I'm telling you, Steve.
No,
Steve.
You.
Steve.
Nope.
Steve. You know how I feel about kale. Yeah. I'm telling you they're good.
Nope.
he's turning them down on religious reasons.
Nope.
Along with what Joe said from the 414, Dave, when were you going to tell Dave, honestly, these are pot cookies?
Oh.
It's not legal yet.
If Dave suddenly really needs Pringles to go with his cookies, we'll know that they
but
kicked in.
Anna, is there CBD
that would be
oil?
Phenomenal.
I know you were
chasing
CBD oil.
Right. We had Kevin Powell out on the CBD
Is
hunt.
That clarifying CBD oil?
Organic CBD
yeah.
oil?
Yeah.
Dude,
mm-hmm.
that is something I noticed from all my travels, is people were like, oh, you're going to Colorado. Can you pick something
right,
up for me?
Right.
You're going.
Like when he used to tell people to go to Vegas, put a 20 down on this or that. Now they want you to pick up weed.
Oh, parents everywhere are embracing it. Parents. They're ready.
Nice.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Anna DeVlantis is here with us.
Hey.
Pat McGann's here with us. By the
Good
way,
morning.
People are asking, Roe, we believe, will be back on Monday.
Yes.
To be determined. He's taking care of some family stuff now, and he's okay, and he'll be back on Monday.
He announced on social media his father passed away yesterday.
And I didn't know we could say it, so I'm glad you did.
I made sure. I asked Bro, and I asked the producer, and he was okay with it, and he wanted to let people know that...
Yeah, because people are worried about him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take a lot of time off, and he's off all, you know, probably, but certainly today. So we're wishing him the well and say a little prayer for his dad, if you're so inclined.
Sure, and we'll let him talk about his dad, but what we do know is I think he was 92, mm-hmm. and up until some real nasty health things recently, he's had a pretty good run.
He has, yeah. Air Force veteran, and I know Roe was very proud of that, and his dad was too, and so... you know, amazing guy, and Ro will be back to talk about him pretty soon. So just keep him in your prayers.
But as you know, if you lost a parent at any age, it doesn't matter how old they are,
doesn't matter
how long they've been around, it's hard.
It is. I think it just comes that moment, right, when you think about everything.
Pat McGann is here, and Pat is on the road a lot, and when he's not, he's in town. You want to plug anything?
Wow, that's you segue from that into, hey, here's a comic. That's heavy stuff. I feel bad. I met Ro, and you know, I actually talk about that generation a little bit in my act, like that they are really disappearing. Like that's like my grandparents and the people that fought in World War II, and that kind of sucks because
they were the real men.
They value things, right? Yeah. It's like not we don't value anything more. It's like I threw a frying pan out the other night because I didn't want to scrape it. Like, right. How much was this? $20? Toss it. Let's go. We don't cook. Those people, like, open a newspaper in front of them. Like, what are you doing with that rubber band? Put it in the drawer with the other 2,000 rubber bands.
So true.
Yeah, it is
the
true.
The other 2,000, that's it.
I'm at Zany's this weekend. That's where I'm at.
Where?
Zany's in Old Town, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The Saturday 9 o'clock show is sold out, which I'm excited about. And there's a few tickets available for the early show Friday and Saturday.
The downtown Zany's, the historic downtown Zany's, is funny because most places you get the early show with a big crowd. Second show is usually good, but not necessarily a sellout. This downtown Saturday night show, if there's a star like Pat McGann in town, that 9 o'clock show is going to sell out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they always do well at the 9 o'clock show, so it should be a
fun weekend.
Because
people go out and eat.
Yeah.
And they stumble over to Wells.
Yeah, Old Town's a great area. Ton to do over there. Park your car, go get dinner, go do a show.
Now, will you be funny for all the shows or just the Saturday night show at night?
All of them, man. I'm excited to be back. I haven't done Zany's for a while. It's been probably like 7-8 months.
Which is a long time for you.
Yeah. So it's kind of a bit of a homecoming that's kind of trying to let people know that I'm back in town. And
we're talking off the air. Anna's got a little girl who is now 7?
7.
Oh, yeah.
Five more days of first grade. We're counting down.
Same. I have a 7-year-old daughter.
Aww.
Wrapping up first grade.
The best.
So, yeah. Pat, anything with the kids going on that we need to know about that you haven't reported?
No, not a ton. We're excited to try and do some vacation this summer.
Ooh, you get
now
to be on the road
getting
again.
A little older, you know, because we did a water park over spring break. This when the indoor one up in Lake Geneva.
Oh, sure.
Which is indoor water parks are. It's like you want to roll the dice on hepatitis.
Petri dish.
Yeah, let's get in there.
Actually, that's the name of the water park you went to. It's Petri dish.
So was it the one right by Grand Geneva?
Yeah, and it's a beautiful place.
So
I'm
what
not
we
did, because
we're going at the end
we didn't
of
name it. It's Petri dish.
Yeah, I don't know if they're a sponsor. They're great.
Yeah, they are great. But what we do is we stay at Grand Geneva, and then the kids take the little golf cart over the water park. Because you can buy water park passes, but not actually have to stay there. If you want a little
more. That's fancy.
It's in the Dells, there's Penicillin Water Park. Have you tried that?
That's solid.
You been to that one as well?
Yeah. I had to get up there.
A lot of people like to clean themselves off by going over to Chuck E. Cheese and diving in the balls.
Those places are... They're a mess. But yeah, we're going to...
Have you gotten to be more of a germaphobe at all, either one of you guys? The older I get, the more of a germaphobe I turn into.
I'm kind of less.
I think about it more. I don't know why. Especially, I think when your kids are babies, you are cognizant of that for a good reason. And then since then, I think it sort of affected me. I just sort of think about it.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it at all.
I didn't shower for the first 25 years of my life. Now, I'm just freaked out by stuff that never used to bother me.
I mean, I stay on top of that stuff, like especially like when kids are sick and you don't want stuff to spread. Uh-huh. But
I see
think
myself
I'm just like not as like worried about it as I used to be.
I'm going to go down the Howard Hughes path, except instead of the entire floor of a hotel in Vegas, I'm going to have like a room at the Red Roof Inn.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and that's where I'll be. And no one will be able to get in.
I was just kind of freaked out. I parked on Lower Wacker, and there's some it was a little skeevy down there.
There's some folks down there that you want to be nice to.
Not even just the people, but it's like it's just dingy. And
yeah,
well,
people
it's
don't
Lower Wacker.
Right. They leave their garbage behind. It's not sort of
but
a
it's
place.
Lower Wacker. What do you think they dust?
Dude, I love Lower Wacker, by the way. If you want to like feel like a man, effectively use Lower Wacker. Like, I, if I had my wife in the car and I, like, let me just cut through here. Like, it still turns around. Like, wow, you know how to use Lower Wacker? Like, that is a man's road. A lot of people do not go down there.
It is impressive.
A man or woman, I'm just saying that strong Chicagoans are down there.
Nothing's labeled. You don't know where you're going to get off.
No.
Right.
It's just like, go towards the light. It's like the most you could recreate, I think, the experience of death. It's just like, this is unknown and scary, but I'm going to go towards the light, and then you're out in the paradise.
It's like Chicago. The French Connection.
Yeah. Kind of.
You know, it's like that. The chase scene?
Well, yeah, and the famous Batman scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the Batman, well, the Blues Brothers too, but the Batman scene with Heath Ledger going nuts down there.
It is underrated and underused.
It's a great, it sounds like it's a great date site.
I'm a big fan.
Just driving back and forth on Lower Wacker.
We should have an after party there after the show. Let's go down there.
I'll tell you a true story, and Sandberg knows how GPS addled I am, because I don't have the chip. I got lost in a parking garage. True story.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't have the directional chip. I have to use GPS to get out of the driveway at my house. And I worked at WGN for 10 years before I was fired. And, when I got fired, you know the story. I got fired and I left. Because you should. You get fired. You should leave.
You didn't linger.
It wasn't until, say, 2009. So it was the first 8 years I worked here, I living in the Western Burbs. I would go down Ontario and then make my way over to the Eisenhower exit and get on the Eisenhower and leave. The Tribune Tower is about 14 feet from Lower Wacker, where you can cut across town in about 45 seconds.
Right.
I never, it's not that I never knew it existed. I just never even tried it.
Yeah.
So the last couple of years I was here, and now since then, I'm with you, man.
You are all grown up,
man. I live on Lower Wacker.
It's intimidating.
And it's
a lot of people
almost,
stay away from it.
Well, but it's foolproof for a guy like me. You can't get lost on Lower Wacker. It goes from here to there and there to here. That's it.
The GPS does not work down there, though, in a lot of spots.
Which is why it's great, because I know
the
there's only you can't get lost.
Yeah, you got to know it.
Even a guy that got lost in a parking garage, I can't get lost on Lower Wacker.
Huh.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
But semis do get stuck on Lower Wacker, which is always fun.
Ooh, that's spooky.
See, keep telling these horror stories. Keep people out. I love it.
Put a roundabout on Lower Wacker. Could you imagine what would happen then?
Oh, yeah, right.
Chaos.
Mary's just trying to drum up business for her department.
Yeah, yeah. Keep it going.
More to talk about.
Yeah, there's another crash at the roundabout.
She actually does traffic on commission. The more problems they are, the more money she gets.
Yeah, jackknife semi. All right.
Oh, this is awesome.
That's
listen
a winner.
To this.
The winner. And I want to talk to you about the developments of Mr. Mueller yesterday.
Sure.
Before we get to that at 9:29, we need another break, and we'll come back with the headlines on 720 WGN.
Number one, Mr. Mueller doesn't know the law. He's basically full of crap.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Ah, the charming and delightful Sean Hannity. You know, it's funny how money doesn't make you smart. Sean Hannity probably made about $40 million last year. Good for him.
He's got a lot of it. That's for sure.
He's going to need that when he's in hell and Satan asks for a payment. It's 9:42. Meanwhile, the Democrats are spinning so hard, it sounds like something that needs to be mechanically adjusted as Nancy Pelosi tries to wait this thing out until they get to election season. Yeah, and Mueller talked yesterday, Anna DeVonsis. What'd you think?
Well, you know, it's interesting because he thought that he was going to settle it once and for all. I don't want to testify. Here's my 9-minute statement. Everything I have to say is in that report. I carefully thought out those words, and it's all there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more. There's nothing more I can offer.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't settle anything. No. I mean, if you think about what he said yesterday, it became explosive yesterday. And, you know, Democrats, many of them are saying that they believe that Mueller was saying that he would have pursued an obstruction charge if he could have done so.
Well, that's what he said.
And this is what he said, right?
Yeah,
and so that became more fuel to move toward pressure to Pelosi for an impeachment. And now you had the president this morning saying that he's a never-Trumper, Mueller, and that that impeachment is a dirty, filthy, disgusting word. You know, so
well,
the president's lashing out
Trump.
Today. It just feels like anyone who wanted this Russia thing and this investigation to be over, I don't think you're going to get your wish. This is continuing, and it likely seems like it's moving towards some sort of an impeachment. Or you know,
well,
there's a lot of pressure out there for that.
As I tweeted yesterday, the most disturbing thing I think that came out of that statement was that the president's above the law. That because of the policy of the Justice Department, the president can do anything he wants until he's out of office, and he can't be charged. Until that's court-tested, until the Supreme Court rules on that, And the Justice Department is no longer bound by a policy controlled by Trump's caddy, the current attorney general, then nothing's going to change.
Right. You can't even seal an indictment and keep it until after the president leaves office, as Mueller pointed out yesterday.
Favorite tweet of the day? Russia, Russia, Russia. Remember when it was Marsha on the Brady Bunch?
Yes.
Russia, Russia, Russia. That's all you heard at the beginning of the witch hunt hoax, and now Russia has disappeared because, ready? Here's my favorite part. I had nothing to do with Russia helping me get elected. Well, wouldn't that be kind of an admittance there, Donnie? It was a crime that didn't exist, and now the Dems and their partner, the fake news media, blah, 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 blah. I had nothing to do with Russia helping me get elected.
The other piece of this that I think is troubling is why is the Attorney General Barr and Mueller not on the same page? There is such a disparity between the messaging they gave the public, and that should be.
You mean
be.
Barr and Mueller?
I'm sorry, did I say that right? Barr and Mueller.
Barr and Mueller,
Attorney General Barr,
yeah.
And the way he portrayed what was happening, and Bob Mueller, what he has said. Very different narratives.
They were friends for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And Mueller seems like the good soldier who is not. The thing that annoyed me about what Mueller said yesterday, because I wanted the end of the movie moment. I wanted the, I'm out of order, you're out of order moment, you know?
I did too.
And it didn't come, because Bob Mueller was not announcing his resignation yesterday, and he went out as a good soldier. He's always been a good soldier. He's a true American hero. But the fact that he couldn't rule on something could have been changed yesterday when he said, I can't make this decision. I don't have that power. The Attorney General has that power, and the Attorney General misled you. I didn't say what he said. I said what's in this report. I encourage you to read the report. And by the way, the president's been lying the entire time, and I'm a little tired of what he's been saying about me. But that's not my problem anymore. I'm out. Mic drop. See ya. And walk out of the room.
Didn't happen.
No.
It used to seem that guys like Mueller were the guys that were in charge.
Yeah.
You know, guys that had, no matter what the party is, true Americans, integrity, kind of miss that kind of leadership.
If the Democratic Party loses to Donald Trump twice, shut it down. Shut it down, right? Because it's not fixable.
You know, presidents can do whatever they want, though. I think the best news that didn't get enough attention was Putin scoring 7 goals in that hockey game.
Oh, yeah. Right. Tripping on the rug.
Tripping on the rug.
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. He scored 7 times.
Now, as far as we know, Larry Potash is not involved in the Russian, what is it, a hoax? Witch hunt? I'm pretty sure that he's not. Larry, are you with me?
I am with you.
We had the wrong switch in the wrong place.
Good morning.
How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you doing?
Say hi to Anna DeVlantis.
Hey, Anna.
Hi, Larry.
Say hi to Pat McGann.
Hi, Pat.
Hey, Larry.
Say hi to Sandberg.
Hi.
We've got a lot of people here.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Say hi to, I'm trying to see who's in the room. Say hi to Steve Bertrand.
Hi, Steve.
Larry, how are you?
How about Mary Vanderbilt? Why don't you say hi to Mary Vanderbilt? Would that kill you?
Hi, Mary.
Okay. Hi, Larry. What's going on?
I can't. My monitor is like literally 100 yards away. So
Larry's probably wondering when we're on air. When are we going to be on air? Is that what Larry's wondering right now?
say hi to Dave Ennett. It's his birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you very much, Larry.
Hey, you got another backstory coming up this weekend, don't you?
I do.
What's on it?
Thanks for asking. Pinball and Nazis. Yep. They are two separate stories, so don't get too excited. But you know that submarine?
You know that Gehring? He can play a mean pinball.
Right. The submarine that's down at the Museum of Science and Industry, we went and talked to the nephew of the guy who caught it. And what's interesting is that it wasn't just, I mean, catching the sub was difficult enough. But then it got really dangerous after that. So we'll kind of explain that story. And the pinball story is about this guy from Chicago who, when pinball was immoral and illegal, saved pinball by calling his one pinball shot.
But you can't tell me the end of that, and that's a great setup.
Well, no, I'll tell you. What do you want to know?
Well, but you said by one shot. What's the one shot?
It's a pinball shot. Like, he had to call a shot like Babe Ruth, except he had to call it. Because they all thought it was a game of chance, that it was gambling. And he said, no, it's skillful. Let me show you how to do it. And they're watching him play pinball. They're not getting it. And he says,
he had to prove it.
I've got to prove it. I've got to show you. I've got to call it ahead of time and tell you what I'm doing. And then they said, aha. So they got it. And now we can all play pinball happily ever after.
Let me explain this to Pat McGann. It's like when you're playing horse and you're shooting. And you got to prove the last letter.
Right. Yeah. You got to call it.
I can picture that.
Yeah.
I'm at an age now, Pat, where I don't even play horse. I just play H. I get tired easy.
You can take the rock to the hole, Steve. I've heard good things about you.
Yeah. And shoot, too.
Hey, Larry, could you ever dunk? I know we're kind of...
Larry's bright.
Yeah.
Not in a game, because I would get tired after a couple minutes, you know. So, if you could give me like a couple hours to rest up and maybe do some jumping jacks, then maybe.
See, you answer the question. You answered the question correctly, because a lot of like old school white dudes, you ask them, you dunk, they'll be like a tennis ball.
Yeah.
Like, they won't say they can dunk. They'll tell you what they could dunk. I could dunk a volleyball. Like, I could dunk an alley-oop.
Yeah. Well, I played when they had short shorts and high socks, and nobody believed in, you know, doing a weight training or anything of that, or stretching.
It was a hot look.
Went out and played basketball in your short shorts.
Did you have the satin shorts? Was it that phase?
You know,
because I loved those.
And, like, when I was in the Little League of Basketball, we did have a pair of satin shorts.
Yeah. It's like he can still play. Yeah. I saw him yesterday.
I'm playing once a week with a bunch of old guys.
Yeah.
There aren't guys old enough for me to play with anymore. But I have a vertical leap of 8 inches. I can still sky. That's if I get a running start.
You're the Wes Unseld of WGN Radio.
Wow, good poll.
Yeah, well, nice done. Reference.
Yeah.
That woke Dave Ennett up. It's like, I know Wes Unseld.
All right, Larry Potash has an important meeting to go to. He's got to fire several people from the morning show. And what time is Backstory on?
Sunday nights at 8:30. So I hope you tune in. If you like history, you'll love it.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Good to talk to you.
Larry Potash. Hi, Larry. From Channel 9. Which is, it's nice to have Larry on because you didn't know we worked here.
Stop. He said if you like history, you know, this is your up your alley, but maybe if you have like kids that don't like history, you should force it on them as punishment.
Shove it down their throats.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
You're going to take this backstory whether you want it or not.
That's exactly right. Now, you two own and operate 7-year-olds. What are they doing in second grade these days?
So they're finishing up first grade, both of our daughters, right?
Right, they are.
That's what they're doing in second grade.
So they're my daughter's really into reading.
Oh,
she's gotten into it this
mine
year.
Mine is too, funny
Do they
enough.
Do the contest where, you know, you read this many books? And
no, but they do those scholastic book things you bring home, and they get to pick the books. And I always find that's best. Better than you try and, as you were saying, force it upon them. Yeah. Say, read this book. She picks out ones that she's interested in, and it's not ever the ones I would pick out for her. So it really works out well.
I'm kind of like, put down the books, dork. Let's go outside and play. No, she loves reading, and I love that she loves it. She's really into it.
But they don't do reading contests, right?
Because there's some things that you can do, like some summer challenges and things. I don't know if I'm gonna like try and do that. But
Ross, it was maybe the end of the line, Dave. I don't know if you remember this with Stephen, but Ross had a reading contest, and the winner got to mock the other kids in the class.
Oh.
And I thought that was good.
Oh yeah, that's fantastic.
Encouraged him to
succeed. World's competitive. You got to learn. This is how they learn.
Well, I tried it once just to entertain. Now I'm hooked on it like it's kale cocaine. And I'm shopping once a day at Kaleluya. Kaleluya. Kaleluya.
And I don't think you've heard this.
Kaleluya. I haven't.
It's from New Year's Eve. Come on up, share a microphone, Bill. Get
it's
over
an
here.
Ode to kale.
I want to say a quick hi to Viv. I don't know if you guys know Viv. Viv works as a producer here, and as we get rid of Sandberg, we're going to have a bunch of people running through here. And Viv has kindly agreed to help the show, but she has an interesting life. You lived in Greece for how long?
8 years.
8 years?
Yeah.
8 years. What brought you here?
My family.
How old were you when you moved?
I was 9.
Oh, you didn't have a lot to say in it then. We're going to America.
That's true. Yep.
Did you know what that meant at the time?
What, moving here?
Yeah.
No, actually, my parents never told me. They didn't tell us that we were moving here forever.
So we thought it was vacation? So
it was just vacation.
Hey,
just
why are we taking all of my stuff on vacation?
And then school started. I'm like, Mom, what are you doing? Like, we're going to go back.
Shouldn't we go home now?
Yeah.
Hey, do you go back much?
I do, yeah.
So,
I try to visit every year almost.
So what's home, here or there?
Ooh, good question, Steve.
Well, that's not my first day.
Gosh. God, you know, honestly, Greece will always be home.
Okay.
It'll always be home, but I feel like I've adapted and adjusted here. So
you've grown to love Chicago.
I've grown to love Chicago. I love Chicago. So I would call Chicago my home, but Greece has my heart.
Do you have any probing questions of our Greek friends, especially you little Greek down there at the end?
Hi, Anna.
I know, Vivian. Obviously, all Greek Americans know each other in Chicago, so I've already kvetched with her over everything.
Does she come to one of your weekend things, or your husband brings all the Italians and you bring all the
Greek family? I'm surprised you haven't come yet, because I'm sure we are related in some way.
So. Probably like third cousins or something.
Yeah. We haven't done the genealogical thing yet, but it's there.
And did you guys know Viv?
Yeah,
hi, Viv. Meet the staff.
Hey,
nice
hi,
to see you.
How come I'm the only one that didn't know Viv till last week?
Oh, everyone knows Viv.
You don't talk to people, Steve. You stick to yourself.
That's a good point.
Don't make eyes on
people. Let people in.
That's a fair point. No, you're not wrong about that. Pat McGann, before you go, and I've never seen a comic back out of the room so fast. What was it, something I said?
No, I didn't know what was going on here, and I just wanted a peaceful transfer of
power.
I saw Bill and Wendy in here, and
yeah, okay. I don't need any. The explanation's enough. I don't need any more. Are you doing any more Sebastian shows this summer?
We have a couple. We got some in July, all in California. A couple of wineries and outdoor shows.
Yeah. Wineries?
Yeah, they have like these beautiful theaters out there, and people come out.
You know, Pat also opens for Sebastian Cabot. You know that?
No, I didn't know that. Also a fine winemaker. Yeah, no question about it. And you're at Zany's this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend I'm at Zany's in Old Town, and next weekend I'm at Zany's in Rosemont.
Okay.
So come see on Pat. Out. I'd love to
By
see
By the way, the way there. Pat's career is going, this is like your last two shots. He's not returning anybody's calls after next weekend. So it'll be good to get out and see him this weekend or next weekend before he forgets all of us.
That's not true. You know that.
As far as I know. But thank you for
thank
coming.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Good to see everybody. Happy birthday, Dave.
And
thank
Dave, I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm here, too.
Yeah, I just want to say, you want to say hi to any of your, well, if I say hi to your Greek family, it's going to take like an hour and a half.
I know, I'm sorry. So,
and how about that boyfriend of yours?
Yeah, George. Hi, George.
Yeah, hey, George. How you doing?
Hey, George.
Yeah. George.
Either George or Nick.
Or Gus.
John, Gus. So there's only true. A few names, really.
Is that true? There's only three guy names in Greece, George, Nick, or Gus?
Was that bit you call the Greek restaurant and you can say, hey, George there? Yeah, hang on a second. I mean, it's obvious. There's going to be a George.
You forgot Dimitri.
Jimmy.
All right, before we go, Bill and Wendy are here. What are you guys doing today?
We're going to talk about the new Star Wars adventure, the Star Wars Land at Disney with Jason Nathanson. He got to pilot the Millennium Falcon yesterday.
So they have like a Millennium Falcon ride?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is it like a big Millennium Falcon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does it go fast? Would it be scary?
Light speed. Yes. It's going to be
scary. How many parsecs?
Oh, too many to count. So fast.
Wait, you ask him how many what?
That's a measurement of speed in Star Wars Universe yeah. Land.
I thought you said how many car six.
No,
said how many times you throw up in the car.
Oh, that'd be me a lot of times.
That would be a measurement of a car speed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Car six.
Yeah, how many car six?
You should have helped design the ride.
Yeah. So what does it cost to ride this sucker and go into this thing?
I don't know. We're going to find out all about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have questions and... He'll tell us the answers.
Do you know it's Dave's birthday?
Yeah.
Yes, happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you, Bill and Wendy.
We've watched Dave grow up before our very eyes.
Yes, you. Did you try any of Anna's chocolate chip cookies with kale or Mary's super healthy banana, crushed banana, chocolate chips?
Not yet.
They had a battle of cookies Steve wouldn't eat this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You should try them.
They're dipped in healthy. Do you want to have that much healthy on you?
With a little smattering of long life.
Mm.
We'll come back tomorrow. What do you got?